Have you or a loved one been injured by the COVID-19 vaccines? Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson? Have you experienced high fever, chills, severe headaches, extreme tiredness, bruising, blood clots, subdermal mucosis, internal bleeding, menstrual issues, accelerated menopause, arrhythmia, eustachian tube dysfunction, elevated heart rate, myocarditis, tachycardia, pericarditis, anaphylaxis, myopericarditis, deep vein thrombosis, portal vein thrombosis, elevated intracranial pressure, transverse myelitis, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, thrombosis with thrombocytopenia, extreme myalgia, allodynia, tumors, shingles, aphasia, tinnitus, vertigo, apnea, Bell's palsy, Guillain-Barré, autoimmune disorders, uncontrollable shaking, unexplained bruises, ruptured blood vessels, pulmonary embolisms, brain injury, heart attack, stroke, paralysis, or death. If you or a loved one has experienced adverse events from the COVID-19 vaccines, call 1-800-TOUGH-SHIT.
We stayed focused on following the science, on promoting public health rules, and Canadians stepped up in their communities. They stepped up for their frontline health workers. They stepped up for each other, and Canada has never been so strong and together as we are now.
Starting tomorrow, we don't have to wear masks anymore.
All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here this Friday. It is 11th of February, 2022. Good to see you all. Thank you for joining us live or later on in the archives. RedEyes.tv, RedEyesMembers.com. That's the website where you can find all our stuff. I hope you're having a great Friday. Lana, welcome back.
Yeah, good to be here. Have a slight headache, but I'm sure all this good news is going to make that go away.
Oh, that's going to make it much better. You can bet your... You can bet your horses on this because we have some good stuff here today.
Yeah.
Continuing monitoring the Canada situation. And okay. We'll get into it just in a moment. There's some announcements today, both by Justin Trudeau, the clown, and also from the heavyweight Doug Ford in terms of emergency and all that kind of stuff. We'll get to that in a moment. If you want to join us live, enterprise.live/RedEyes TV. That's a good way of supporting the show as well. And we do have the Odyssey chat open as well. I try to keep an eye on that. Back to my iPad again, looking at the chat. Sorry about that. What else do we have? We have Cointree. I got to check Cointree. We have Cointree up if you want to do crypto. But what the hell are you going to do? Why don't we begin with this then, with Ontario's Prime Minister. Premier, that's what they call it. Prime Minister, what the hell is that? Canadian Premier Doug Ford has now declared a state of emergency in over, obviously, the trucker protest, the convoy, the Freedom Trucking Protest Convoy.
Trucks of peace.
The actual trucks of peace. Yes. That's right. So listen to what he said here. And then just, you know, okay, so we're trying to emphasize this point and make this point that you have to put this in context to what happened around the West in 2020 specifically. I mean, this has been happening for many years now, but with the BLM protests and the Antifa protests and all that stuff, right? So, you know, some people are allowed to protest. While they're, you know, burning down buildings and killing people and assaulting people, while others are not allowed to protest to doing so peacefully, right? Just remember that. Listen to what this slob has to say here. Listen to this.
Truth is, this virus forced us to make unthinkable sacrifices. And I know that this has been extremely, extremely difficult. Watching businesses close, livelihoods lost, freedoms restricted. None of this has been easy. People are frustrated, they're scared, they're angry. And I know these frustrations have reached a boiling point for many Canadians. My friends, one of the great things about living in Canada is our right to free speech.
There we go.
The right to choose our government by voting for leaders that best represent us.
Like you mean those the young global leaders from the World Economic Forum? Is that the ones you're talking about? Are you talking about the 200,000 votes that they ended up not counting in the latest Canadian election? Mm. And the election committee said, whoops, we're sorry. Of course, this was enough votes to tip the scale for what, not that the other guy here would have been the best, you know, the conservatives or whatever. We'll talk more about them in a moment, too. But the point is, like, you're saying we're gonna vote ourselves out of this with all the voting frauds that's going on, yeah, and not counting or counting of illegal ballots and stuff. The point is, no, you didn't have to do all these measures that you did. This is your fault, right? Over the last 2 years of closing down businesses, while, mind you, Walmart remained open, Target remained open,
all the big
Amazon,
chains.
You can, yeah, shop online, that remained open.
All the little guys got hurt.
Yeah. Right. So you did this. You did. Everything that's happening right now is because of people like you. That's why it's happening.
The right to peacefully protest when we disagree with what our government is doing.
But
like all, yeah, rights.
There it is.
These are not without reasonable limits.
There's limits to peaceful protests.
Yeah,
right?
You can only protest about the things that we want to happen, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah, if it's attacking the racial majority of a country, then it's good, right? Then we can protest them all we want, and Black Lives Matter, right? Justin is out there and taking a knee and all these bullshit. But if it's actual working class, now they're upset that why are they aligning themselves with the working class? What's going on with this, right?
And while I appreciate the right to protest, that right cannot and must not extend to cutting off that lifeline.
Yeah, but
we're now
you did that.
2 weeks into the siege of the city of Ottawa.
The siege, they call it now. The siege of Ottawa, folks. That's what's happening. Listen to the rhetoric here, how it's changed.
Oh, my gosh. It's copying America's J6 model.
It is. All the white supremacy Nazis, they're out on the streets. And I played the Jagmeet Singh guy, the leader for the new Liberal
terrible,
Party.
Terribly anti-white, yes.
They're literally running with these two flags, right? The Confederate trucker flag and then the Nazi flag, which was Justin Trudeau's personal photographer, right? Click, 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 up in the luxury hotel that no one could confront them or,
yeah,
anything like that.
Exactly.
So they're running with that. And then they're saying that the truckers are attacking nurses. That's what Jagmeet Singh said. Yeah, I played it Wednesday. They're attacking nurses for no reason. They're going after family. We all feel threatened.
It's like blatant
they're
liars.
Literally, like cleaning up the city. They're like shoveling snow. They're cleaning it. They're making it's like it's nicer when they'll pull out and leave. It'll be a better city.
Oh yeah,
city,
you exactly. Know I mean? By the way, our friend Cuck Free Zone Hi says, "How about some reasonable limits on his caloric intake?" Yeah, exactly.
He is not going to have any limits to how many steaks this guy's going to eat when the carbon footprint social credit score comes down the pipe, right?
Someone else had mentioned, isn't he the crack guy? That's right. Wasn't he caught with some drugs or something?
I'm sure he did. Hookers and blow.
I can totally see it.
Such a walrus.
Siege of the city of Ottawa.
The siege.
I call it a siege because that's what
with
it is.
A straight face. Yep.
It's an illegal occupation.
No, it's not.
This is no longer a protest. With a protest, you peacefully make your point and you go back home. And I know that the vast majority of the people did that. They came, they peacefully demonstrated, they made their point, and they
left.
Still
peacefully demonstrating. They're still hanging out.
So you're saying the very point of protest is not to...
There's a limit on it.
...push,
you know,
politicians or to... Again, remember the wording during the BLM, you know, protest stuff? The point is
to make
white people feel uncomfortable. Yeah. See, but when white people do something, which, I mean, it's not all white in Canada there, but, you know, for the most part. But when it's working class, majority white, normal, regular Canadians out on the streets... Then that's out the window, and that's no. You need to go home now. You see, you raised your voice, nothing happened, so go home.
That's what they were hoping would happen, and then they just wouldn't have to deal with it anymore.
Of course, right. I mean they're. We'll talk about that later, but I mean they're in such a. This is not going to go. Initially, they're going to lash out and they're going to do violence against these people. That's what I think is coming down the pipe. They're going to try to arrest all these people. They're going to try to haul them off. Right. There's footage coming out of some of the facilities. I forget where that was now. I think one of the guys, the forget his name, the one of the main guys that started all of this, not the B.J. Dichter, the Jewish conservative that tried to bring gay rights to the conservative party, and not Tamara Lick, but the other one, the other guy. He was out, and he's been filming some of these facilities where they're planning to send these people, right? So I think that's coming. They're going to overstep their boundaries. They're going to do a really bad move. It's going to look really bad, right? But it looked like they're winning initially, but I don't think they know what they're dealing with still. We'll see how this pans out. But anyway, continuing here.
Message to those still in Ottawa, to those at our border crossings, please go home.
Just go
home. To those of you who have brought your children, please take them home. I urge you.
Why? What does he know that's coming?
Well,
it's like he knows something's coming,
did
right?
Did you see the stories that they're calling children's services and stuff on the truckers that have brought their kids?
I did.
And I mean, again, we literally have, what do you call those when kids are jumping around on hay bales? Like a, isn't that
like
a word
just hay
for
bale
that?
Rides,
okay, all right. Anyway, they're like, that's now terrorism and an insurrection when all these kids are running around. I mean, there's literally bouncy castles out there now.
Face painting. Ooh.
Terrorists.
And it's time to do so peacefully. But to the very small groups,
yeah, just go home. Make it easy for
us. Who have chosen to take a different path, to those who have chosen to take a city of 1 million people hostage for the past 2 weeks, to those who've attempted to disrupt our way of life by targeting our lifeline for food, fuel.
You're the ones doing that. You're targeting the very people that are helping bring those things to society.
All the issues that's going to come here because of the supply chains and probably the food shortages. We haven't even spoken about the nitrogen shortages. And nitrogen was one of these vital things that the farmers put on the fields so that it won't just turn into like salted earth, basically, right? That's running short, right? And again, much of that apparently is being produced in Canada, I've heard. So they're the ones responsible for what's coming down the pipe.
Yeah, and all of this, I know we have to move on here, but yeah. All of this is just so ridiculous too, because truckers are so isolated anyway. They're 6 feet
sitting
apart
in a cabin
from,
by
they're
their
like
own.
600 feet apart from everything and everyone.
And these days, I wouldn't be surprised if they just like, they have an app or something and they just like, yep, I'm
they
here, dropped
up,
it off.
They
okay,
unload,
good, boom,
they
and
don't
they take
even
off.
Get out.
Right,
like,
right.
Our borders.
Yeah.
To those trying to force a political agenda through disruption, intimidation, and chaos. My message to you is this. Your right to make a political statement does not outweigh the right of hundreds of thousands of workers to earn their living. It does not outweigh our right to get food across our borders. Your right to make a political statement does not outweigh the rights of 1 million people in Ottawa to live peacefully, free of harassment and chaos in their own homes.
Chaos.
Yeah, truckers.
So
truckers are harassing people in their homes
to
right now.
Creating chaos. The honking.
All that honking. Yeah.
The
total
honking
harassment.
Is just terrorism.
Ken, there will be consequences for these actions.
I'm sure there will.
And they will be severe.
Now here we go.
Here's
a change in tone. Listen to this now.
Going after the money funding the illegal occupation. Yesterday,
an
Ontario
court
granted our request to freeze the funds.
Remember how much BLM made?
Send go for the convoy.
So they went to an alternative fundraising platform, Give Send Go, the Christian one, right? Now they froze that too because they just stepped in with a judge and said, oh, we're freezing the funds.
This is how they play it. They're very dirty. This is what they do.
I mean, they need to do the Bitcoin or the one of the crypto thing. We linked one up on our Telegram. I forget which. I got to pull up the link later. But there are options which they, at least for now, literally cannot stop. And that's what people need to do. That's why there's a use case for crypto, right? That's why we need some of that stuff.
Today, I'm using my authority as Premier of Ontario to declare a state of emergency in our province. And I will convene cabinet to use legal authorities to urgently enact orders that will make crystal clear it is illegal and punishable to block and impede the movement of goods, people, and services along critical infrastructure. Fines for noncompliance will be severe, with a maximum penalty of $100,000 and up to a year imprisonment.
Yep. Oh my God.
We will also provide additional authority to consider taking away the personal and commercial licenses.
See, this is tyranny right here.
Who doesn't comply with these
rules. If you keep protesting us and our sketchy jab, you know, then we're going to just take away your license. So then you can't work at all.
While they're the ones that are violating the charter, right, of human rights, or what do they call it? The Canadian Charter, I think they just call it. They've literally done everything over the last 2 years that violates this, taking away people's ability to do business, shutting down transportation, causing supply chain issues, all this stuff. And then they go out and do this for, what is it now, a week and a half? What is this, day 16, something like that, protest, in Ottawa at least. And now, holy shit, look, everything is on the table. Justin even says it later, including like sending in the military and like killing these people. that's what they would prefer to do.
Yeah, Billy Biz, thank you, says, can you imagine the government reacting this strongly during BLM riots? That's what we were saying. Yeah, a big difference between bouncy castles and pizza ovens versus fires, beatings, and lootings. Yeah, exactly.
It's incredible.
Actually, murdering people.
And murdering. I mean, remember there's actual bodies that were burned and charred. I mean, this is not in Canada, but there was...
No, but they would let it slide in Canada, BLM.
There was even the
raise millions of dollars.
Exactly right. The feminists, they were marching on Parliament Hill in Ottawa back in 2018. You had the BLM thing in and of itself. That was a big problem for the city. That Justin was down there, down on his knees, folding to all this shit. All right. Like in Warriors, aside from Entropy and Odyssey, is Cash App still good? Looks like some credit card companies are blocking business to Entropy. I wonder, who's doing that? I'd like to see.
Yeah, not sure about that. And you'd have to call them up and let them know.
if there's an issue with the
call
card.
Call them up and say,
and ask. If they don't do it, then change cards. But we have the Cash App works too. I have it here, so that's doable. If you guys want to do that, that definitely works. But thank you, Lycan. I appreciate that.
Conservative thinker says the protesters leave when you stop breaking international law and end the mandates. Precisely.
That's it. They think they're fooling around here. But okay, so last little snippet here from Doug Ford. Listen to what he said about like passing new laws to prevent this from ever happening again. Listen to this.
While these emergency orders will be temporary, we have every intention to bring new legislation forward that will make these measures permanent in law.
Yep.
We're taking these steps necessary to support our police as they do what it takes to restore law and order. This is a pivotal moment for our nation. The eyes of the world are upon us right now.
They are.
And what they are seeing is not who we are. It's not what Canada is about.
Oh, you're going to show them what Canada is about.
This is not how we try to change things here in Canada.
Well, it is now, and that's your fault. You did that. You produced this, right? This is the no responsibility, no recognition. There's like this, I know it's been hard, but, you just go to Walmart and take your jab and shut up. Sit down, right? So Justin, of course, came out, talked more about this. Listen to two short clips from him.
If you joined the protests because you're tired of COVID, you now need to understand that you are breaking laws. The consequences are becoming more and more severe. You don't want to end up losing your license, with a criminal record.
That's a nice license you have there. What a shame if something were to happen to it through the baseball bat,
Which will impact your job, your livelihood.
Yep.
Even your ability to travel internationally.
But you have already done that. That's already what's
this guy is such a evil fuck. He really is. He just sits there with his blush and his foundation on, talking to these truckers like he's some tough guy. I'm going to take away your license.
He ran away again.
Well, he goes into hiding. So, yep. Yeah, because again, face to face like a real man, huh?
He's a boy.
Yeah.
We've heard your frustration with COVID. With the measures that are there to keep people safe. We've heard you. It's time to go home now.
that condescending tone is it's time to go home now. Okay, you're outstayed. You're welcome, citizens. Listen to me, bow down. Here's another clip with this guy.
So make no mistake. The border cannot and will not remain closed. I want to remind everyone that politicians don't direct police in a democratic society. But I can assure you, the RCMP is working with provincial and local police departments to enforce the law. Everything is on the table.
They love law and order now.
Because this unlawful activity has to end, and it will end.
Well, it's going to end with you looking really bad if you overstep your boundaries here. And I think that I just don't think they understand. Because think about it. They're painted into a corner now. As the rest of the world, essentially, are easing up on all these restrictions and mandates, right? Masks finally, at least in some areas, right? They are forced to double down because otherwise it would look like they're conceding to these the demands of the truckers. And they're just too proud to, you know, proudful, or what do you call it, prideful to do that. He won't be able to. I think if the trucking thing would continue for another year, they would have these restrictions in place, even as the rest of the world walked away from.
Yeah, that's why they're trying this next measure of threats, essentially. We will fine you lots of money, we'll take away your license, and we'll put you in jail.
Yeah.
Look, they're just going to try and use a steel fist now.
Hold the line. You know, you just be peaceful. Don't do anything violent. Hold the line. Just sit and stand there. Don't have to talk to anybody. Just occupy space, right? As a trucker, as an individual, if you can make it there, you know, show up, support these guys. And everything that might or might not happen as a consequence of their dumb actions, which is set to maybe happen as early as tonight or maybe now with the weekend. And if another weekend is upon us here, a lot more people are going to show up. I think it's going to look bad for them. I think it's going to get worse and worse.
It needs to get bigger, yeah.
So they're going to have to try to make a move. And I think that what I'm saying is later on, when these people are held accountable and they're taking responsibility for what they've done here, all those things will and can be reversed very easily. You know what I mean? Like that can be undone, basically.
Dog Whistler says, if you join a protest, you're breaking the law. I guess these guys never heard of the concept of freedom of speech. Of course not.
Yeah, but then they always preface it. We have a proud tradition of freedom of speech, but go home now, because otherwise we'll destroy your life.
But double standards. That's all it is.
Yep, all it is, right? A Canadian mayor makes plea for injunction as truck protest limits Ford and GM auto production. Border city of Windsor is seeking court order to remove truckers demonstrating against COVID-19 vaccine mandates. I'll show some of the footage
of the
line. Ambassador
Hold the
Bridge, line. Between Windsor and Detroit, right? And that's good. Now, you had some lunatics that came out of the woodwork. We'll talk about that in a moment here. But I did want to show, regarding the injunction against the honking, speaking about injunctions, again, I covered that Wednesday, this crazy attorney that was representing a 21-year-old, where they basically said you can be like fined. And again, we show that footage of an 80-year-old man, I mean, an old, tiny little man, who were hauled off by two police officers because he beep, beep, honked once with his car in support of the truckers, right? Hauled off to prison. Well, here's the 21-year-old. Zexi Lee.
Yeah, Chinese communist, I'm sure.
Zexi Lee.
Oh, God.
The 21-year-old woman who led a class action lawsuit to get the nonstop loud and disturbing.
I don't think it was her that led it. I'm sure it was some other communists, and then she's just the front girl.
It's possible. But they said it was the honking was an oppressive tactic, and it was essentially violence, right? To finally stopped in downtown
Look
Ottawa.
At that. So, you .. are a straight up hero. Okay, faggot.
Zexi Lee.
Oh my God.
So anyway, so that's gonna be feeling good there in Canada when enemy combatants from comes in and just like tells you what you can and can't do, like coming from at least prior generations probably of authoritarian Chinese commies, right? Okay, so we played that. The other thing that happens with was it CBC? Let me see here. This one here. Truckers misrepresenting employers by joining Ottawa protest companies. That's this from CBC, right? But it's interesting. In this, they straight up promote a website. Let me see here. Here it is, right? On February 6th, the website convoytraders.ca, initiated by an Ottawa IT specialist, started posting names of companies that had trucks in the protest area, along with photos with the intent of naming and shaming those involved. Mm-hmm. And again, here's a taxpayer-funded media source, the CBC, that goes on and obviously, granted, they don't have an actual clickable hyperlink, but this is the next thing to it, right? To endorsing, doxing people that take part in these lawful and peaceful protests, right? And they could try to make it unlawful or say that it's illegal or something, but it's not. You know what I mean? They have a right to do it, and they should do it. So what has happened here, of course, is this, as I mentioned before. Look at this here. As the Pfizer, the lunatic Pfizer leftists get upset that there's an enjoinment here with the working class, right? Half of the stories on Fox News are about how working class people, especially the white working class,
it's true though,
are being
true.
Victimized at the
it's
hand of left leaning elites.
Yes,
and so then have to observe, and now we're beginning to see this worrying trend of an overlap between conservatives in the United States who are funding, and Russia is doing it too, also, by the way. But it's conservatives and right and alt-rights have hijacked this idea of freedom and the working class, and they're now trying to say that we're being oppressive to the working class.
It's true.
Isn't it amazing when, like, the very forces that pushed the working class for such a long time have now completely turned their back on them and gone and join up with Pfizer and Moderna, basically.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's incredible. Incredible times. And of course, just as a little casual reminder here, we have witnessed the greatest wealth transfer in the history of the world over these last 2 years, right? The world's richest 0.01% have increased their wealth by $310 billion. That's in pounds there, right? So what would that be? $400 million, maybe US dollars? During the pandemic. During that time, 100 million people fell into extreme poverty. Again, this is what they don't understand. People have already lost their jobs. They've already...
The working class is
People have committed suicide around them. They have family members. They couldn't take it anymore, right? I mean, and there's nothing talked about these costs.
Yeah. I just say Stavros says, J.B. Dichter, gay Jewish guy,
Dichter,
is in charge of the seized GoFundMe money. Owen Benjamin says that none of his trucker bears offer support for the convoy and that the truckers will be blamed for the coming food shortages, while Elon Musk rolls out his AI driverless semi-trucks. Well, that's one theory. I mean, we know that those AI trucks are going to come out soon, but they don't have them ready to roll right away. Nonetheless, it's great that they're putting their foot down and doing something. It's better than not doing anything. They're going to try and blame them for all kinds of things, but where is the line?
So at this point, you could argue that anything you do, at least when it comes to creating chaos, would be a benefit to them, because this is their MO, right? They want to reform and reshape the world, specifically in a technological way, primarily like Fourth Industrial Revolution style. And yes, you know, there are advancements happening on the trucking front, and not only Tesla's vehicles that UPS are doing.
It's not ready yet, though.
They're doing their own, testing on this. But the point, that's also not the point. The point is, it's important to show at the hands of whom this is done at this point, right? It's because it's not the elites doing it now. It is in the control, in the hands of the working class. We're not talking about the supposed leaders of the convoy, right? It doesn't matter where they stand on this. I mean, it matters, but like they're not the ones running the show. If they run off in the opposite direction at some point, which I'm sure some will, or, you know, there were questions about some of them. The point is, there's still a unifying point around eliminating the mandates and undoing what these crazy government officials have done, right? And it's good to show that it's in their hand. They did this, right? They're the ones capable of doing this, and they can also turn it back and turn back the spigot back on.
Yeah, the trucker convoy is a plus. Comply, otherwise, what? Do nothing? Show no presence whatsoever or no unity whatsoever? No.
No,
that's not an option either.
No, they have to do something, and this is good of an option as any, right? I briefly also just wanted to talk about the so-called conservative leaders, right, in Canada. This is regarding Poilievre, right? Is it Pete or what is it again? I forget it. But yeah, no, Pierre, right? Pierre Poilievre, right? He had these statements initially. I'm proud of the truckers, and I stand with them. Says Poilievre, lambasting Justin Trudeau's response to the national protest. There was another tweet he had back in January 31st. These are the people the media and Trudeau want to silence. Bright, joyful, and peaceful Canadians championing freedom over fear on Parliament Hill, right? Well, I think this is from today. This is what he had to say when things have been declared illegal. Listen to this.
Enforce the law and the injunction. Right now, we have almost $500 million worth of goods that are not moving because of an illegal blockade by a group of people who don't represent anyone but themselves.
they represent a lot of people.
That went pretty fast, if you ask me. So as soon as it became illegal, a little hard, run away.
Worm.
Brave Sir Robin. Do you guys remember that? But so he ran away. And so look at this here. You can't make this up, right? So this is from, is this today? 2 days ago.
Nice flag.
2 days ago. It's a wonderful Canadian flag. In the back of that, Pierre Poilievre names Jeremy Littke campaign director for conservative leadership run.
Just get a half of that star in there just to show a little support, you know?
Canadian leaf he has there. That maple leaf right there. It's quite impressive. Now, how does the leaf look again? Can you potentially make a hexagonal thing out of the leaf or something? Can you do that? Does that work? I don't know. He also had a tweet here I saw, but went to his Twitter. He even uses that, by the way, that photo on his Twitter profile.
Of course he does.
And one of the tweets here he had, did he remove that now? Because, no, here it is. Here's one of the issues here that's important. Anti-Semitism must be rejected wherever and whenever it is found. There's nothing about the protest, nothing about anything like that.
It's not even that the truckers are anti-Semitic? Has that not come up yet? Amazing.
Maybe he was trying to just wait it out to see which way these conservatives can flip-flop, you know, to benefit their own agendas and whatnot. I mean, there is some real leadership, and it's frankly, it's guys like this, right? It's Maxime Bernier, right? He's been consistent. He's held the line, if you will, in terms of standing up for these people, and he was there out. He's a guy who actually walked around among the people there. No one tried to, he wasn't in danger or anything like this, right? You know that, I mean, I'm not saying people would like lynch Justin Trudeau if he showed up. I think that would have been peaceful to him, frankly. But I think that he would receive so much verbal abuse if he showed up that he just can't do it. Right?
He might have a heart attack or something.
It's a huge difference. I mean, this guy walked out. He was hugged by people and he was, you know, welcomed everywhere and stuff. And so there are, you know, some politicians still here and there that are somewhat decent. You know, would they flip flop if they get in? It's like, sure, okay, anything is possible, right? But there are some options here, and this guy he seems legit. He seems like the real deal, you know. He said hi to you guys, by the way, too, in the...
on the stream, right?
In the stream, the Week in Warrior show that we did recently. Derek Rantz, he had him right there, so he said hi to us in the Red Ice audience. That was cool. Okay, so... let me see what else we had here. Yeah, so... Okay, so, so let's talk about this one here. Here's a CNN contributor here. Or actually, excuse me. A CNN analyst and former Obama Undersecretary of Homeland Security, Juliette Kayyem, has called for violence and vandalism against the Freedom Convoy protesters who have amassed at the bridge that connects Detroit, Michigan to Windsor, Ontario. The Ambassador Bridge link constitutes 28th here. It's always now back. Now it's back to the bottom dollar, right? The what about the GDP and the money and the annual trade and all that stuff? That's important now all of a sudden. 28% of the annual trade movement between the U.S. and Canada. Slash the tires. Empty gas. Here's our actual tweet here. Slash the tires. Empty gas tanks. Arrest the drivers and move the trucks.
And I'm seriously, women like this, she would be happy. You know, put them in camps and fire up the gas chambers, real ones. She'd be smiling the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
These are crazy. I love, too, how she says it's not a freedom protest. You just lose your job and you can't get into stores without this injection. But it's not about freedom. But abort a baby, it's about freedom, yeah. Right? Loot, riot, burn down cities, murder people with the people alive inside these burning buildings in the name of Black Lives, and that's freedom. Oh, you can't show kids pedophile books in school. Oh, my freedom, they cry. But in this case, it's not freedom. Anytime it's their political opposition that's protesting something that is actually tyrannical, they always do freedom protests, right? They always do that. In this case, you stop a tyrannical government from forcing you to take numerous sketchy jabs just so that you could eat and have a job. And, that's not about freedom. It's just amazing they can say this with a straight face. And as you pointed out, as a lot of men pointed out, well, slashing the tires wouldn't be really smart because then they would have to stay there.
You can't move them after you slash their tires. I mean, look, you could technically.
Slash their tires.
Or you're going to go in with like cranes or you have to lift everyone up on a trailer or something.
And you're also going to get caught, right? You're in there like trying to slash these huge truck tires. Yeah. Like, you're going to get caught.
This tweet did get ratioed with this video. And it's fun. Sometimes it's fun with Trump. This was the reply.
Shut up, silly woman.
Shut up. So that was kind of funny. So I wanted to show you this too. There were talks of having limitations on cell phone connection, that they will cut that here. And again, this could Wednesday. We thought that this was going down, and it appears it was not. We were talking a little bit about the situation in Coots, Alberta, link between Montana and Alberta, U.S. and Canada. And I think I don't think it broke out that way then, but they've been apparently sending in riot cops. They're laying each puzzle piece slowly in place, right, to make a move. But if communications were shut down, this is one of the proposals, and it's exactly what I was thinking as well. We need volunteers to open up their internet connections. Listen to this here.
Hey, everybody, Mike here. I have a solution, and I've already got many people who are on board with this, so it's going to work. If the authorities in Ottawa decide to cut the cell phone towers so that none of the Patriots can communicate or do live feeds and get the truth out of whatever happens when everything goes dark, this is how we negate that. When it happens, and not before, when it happens, Ottawa citizens who are in support of freedom, who are in support of this, if you have a home or your business is in the convoy region, remove the password protection to your Wi-Fi. Everybody. We turn the entire area into one big hotspot. We call it Hotspots for Heroes. Hotspots for Heroes. Okay? And this way they can all live stream, they can all communicate, they can all call each other and communicate as if the cell towers were never shut off. There's always a way, my fellow Patriots.
That's awesome.
There's always a way. Share this widely so if everybody knows what to do when it happens. Mike.
That's awesome. That's what it's for. I love when kids do that.
I always do that.
So there was some rumors here a little bit that something is might be going down here, right? This is from yesterday from the, let me see here, the Windsor. Sorry, I have a thing right in the way from me reading that on the screen. The Windsor Regional Hospital, right? And they're, let me go up full screen here, guys, so you can see this. They're putting in, they're doing preparation for Code Orange, right? Our incident management system team, IMS, met to be prepared for the possibility, even if remote, of individual coming into the hospital needing hospital/emergency healthcare from the current protests. Any Code Orange is called from the community, and we would respond to it. In preparation, we suggest the following: familiarize yourself with the Windsor Regional Hospital Code Orange policy and your department's responsibility if a Code Orange is called. You know, blah blah blah. So the point here is this something coming down the pipe here? Are they planning something? You know how these things work, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if they prep. If they prep for something like that, and then in fine print somewhere here, we have and we won't treat people who aren't unvaccinated, which is going to be all those truckers, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. I think it's possible, but, worst case scenario here, let's assume that the government there does some kind of gay op or some terrorist attack or something like that, and then all of a sudden, but they set off a bomb or something happens, right? And you have a bunch of people and it's all, blood and gore and mayhem. And then they just say, oh, yeah, see, this is what happens when truckers show up. And they have, remember the Muslim guy in Parliament? I played it Wednesday. Go back there and check it out. But he's like saying, trucks with fuel in them in and of itself is like a terrorist vehicle.
Oh,
like a bomb. It can turn into a bomb.
But when it's an actual Muslim that's in a truck that's driving through people, killing them, including children, it's
trucks. It's trucks of peace. Now, the actual trucks of peace are trucks of terror. That's what we've seen here. So
inverted reality, everything.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it goes. So the other thing here is, we don't have to play the footage there from the Tower of Windsor, Windsor Bridge, the Ambassador Bridge, sorry, the Windsor area. But I wanted to show you this real quick here. They're afraid now that the truck convoy that's taking place in the U.S. also, it's happening in many countries. We'll talk about two other places later here. But it might upset the coming sports ball events known as Super Bowl.
What?
And so Department of Homeland Security head Mayorkas was even forced to comment on this. What are you ready if a convoy shows up and tries to disrupt our Super Bowl? You know, we got to have our sports ball. Oy vey. Listen to this here.
Less than a week away from the game, new potential threats arise daily.
The anti-vax trucker rally in Canada, they've made some threats to come down here. Are you prepared for that?
Individuals have a perfect right to exercise their First Amendment rights. Once they intervene in other people's freedoms and liberties, it becomes a more complicated landscape. But we're working with law enforcement to address any eventualities.
Now, in a bulletin obtained by CBS News, the Department of Homeland Security is warning that a convoy of truckers could lead to gridlock here in Los Angeles, and that could impact the Super Bowl.
Oh,
the agency
does
describe the plans as aspirational and says there are no plans of violence, but of course they are prepared for anything.
See what's happening here?
Please shut down the Super Bowl. I'd love it.
You know, I didn't show it yet, but was it... look at what they did here the other day. This is increasing the threat landscape, right? They've talked about this before. Like, if you have COVID conspiracies, anything you say might be that's a terrorism thing now, right? But the DHS, which Mayorkas is heading up here, now officially designating dis/misinformation, and they're not specific. That it's like, oh, it's obviously it's COVID, but this is obvious that that's part of what they're talking about, right? You're vaccine hesitant, then now you're a terrorist or whatever. But that's now a terrorist threat to the United States, right? On the online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation. And they continue here. The proliferation of false or misleading narratives which sow discord and undermine public trust in U.S. government institutions.
The U.S. media helps with that every day.
And also, how are you going to distinguish whether or not it's intentional or accidental? You know what I mean?
They're not going to. Depending on who you are, right?
Right, yeah. Sure, right. But they're not going to, obviously, right? But anyway, this is beside the point. But you know what I'm saying? It's always like the threat landscape is changing, right? Listen to a quick comment about this, the Super Bowl thing here on CNN as well. Listen to this.
Well, honestly, I never expected it to get really to this point. I mean, I was well aware of who was organizing this event, but if you had told me this would spark off a worldwide rebellion of angry people with industrial machinery, I would not have believed that 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Industrial machinery. They have some weaponry at their disposal.
Oh, jeez.
Things are going to go wrong.
Same thing that brought your Amazon packages, lady.
That's right. Exactly. I forgot to mention that. But like someone, the ilk of this crazy woman here, Juliet Kayim, she is like ordering on Amazon and she expected, I don't need no man or whatever. And it's like, how the wheels of all of this is turning, of how this is working? And now you're getting a little bit of opposition. And then, oh my God, my 2-day shipping from Amazon is going to be threatened.
My freedoms are threatened now.
Slash their veins. So here is the new guard here coming in. I want to show a couple of things here before we get to some of the situation in the Netherlands too. But look at this, unvaccinated. Okay, so first of all, if you missed Wednesday's show, Ottawa police do not have to be vaccinated, right? They're actually exempt from the vaccine mandates. We showed that clip. And they're like, no, we just do testing, so it's fine. So the very people that are there to enforce and go against their countrymen, their working class, these are system enforcers, right? At the end of the day, they're just brainwashed, compliance officers. But regardless, they don't have to do it. But look at what they're dragging in here. Since someone said the Ottawa Police Department is filling up with some of the fittest and healthiest young reinforcement that they were able to find. Look at this here.
Oh, good God. Jeez, what's going on here?
Look at that guy, Miller.
What is going on? They all have the same body. Are they wearing some suit underneath that makes them very plump and round?
Does this mean, like, they're feds? Because they have the same body.
They have desk jobs,
well, they
right?
actually are feds, right?
Yeah.
They're federally employed.
They literally all have the same shape. How is that even possible?
It was some old ladies there at the end, too, but this is a fine,
wow.
fine bunch here. Look at this guy in the middle there.
Oh, wow.
He's like,
he's
barely
got a
hunchback. Can walk. Yeah, like, he's, what do you call that? Almost falling over.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. I mean, don't let this fool you, though. There's a bunch of old women, too, it looks like. You know, look, this doesn't mean you should, like, man. Oh, that's, I mean, these are the they'll be filled in one area where they can contain it, and then they have the real New World Order cops, enforcers, where things are, where they actually want to, you know, do some damage or whatnot, right? But anyway, so that was kind of funny.
Oh, man.
Here's another, a quick little scene here, too, from, meanwhile, you know, because all of this is about your health, right, at the end of the day. We're protecting you because we're so concerned with your health, right? Here is a police sergeant in Manitoba manhandling a poor young student because they were protesting the mask mandates. Look at this here. Also, same body type here, by the way.
People said donut patrol when they saw that, by the way.
What did they say?
Donut patrol.
Oh, yes. Exactly.
Bullshit, they don't want to hurt him.
It cuts off right there.
So
but
this fatty is like chokeholding this.
Pushing him up against the wall there. Look at this.
Kid.
Yeah. What is he, 16, 15? Maybe 14? This is about your health.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Obviously not. I mean, look at how beast that guy is.
Yep.
It's for your health. And he's going to, like, have a heart attack any day from all the crap he eats. It's amazing. Oh, Owen Land says we missed this. But it's okay for politicians to interfere on First Amendment by censorship, referring back to the game and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
A. White says, wasn't it just 2 years ago that the shutdown interfered with the NBA games?
Yes, all of it, as far as I know.
That's
like,
right.
All of it was like you threatened. They even stopped it for some time.
They were playing to empty audiences and all of that.
God, remember that? They had the cardboard cutouts and stuff. Like, weird.
So cringe. All of it.
Weird and very strange. No, again, they can do whatever the hell they want. They preferably, they will just like to ban the individuals that they see as problematic. Just, you have no rights whatsoever. I mean, that's basically what's happened now because the line has been drawn of like vaccine free versus vaccine compliance, right? And like if they just could legally, you know, lawfully declare this one segment a subhuman of sorts, that would be ideal for them, right? But here's another little slice of some of the terrorist activities that took place in Windsor here the other day, or actually last night, I think it is. Look at this. You see the
literally
bouncy,
shaking.
Do you see the bouncy castle of terror right there too, with the kids, right? Yeah, send in child protective services immediately. Look at that. That doesn't look safe with that bouncy castle right there. Having barbecues,
everything's
a
lie.
Good time, right?
Everything we're told is a lie.
And then another layer.
Confirmed
to this,
every day.
Exactly. Remember where they were talking about that all the hotels were booked in places like Ottawa. Well, now it turns out that. We have some footage now of just the sheer amount of people that went to these hotels to you know, partake in the protests. So that, you know, because they want to have somewhere to stay, right? You want to go to a hotel, you want to have somewhere to stay.
The president didn't ban them yet.
Here's,
I'm sure Airbnb's trying to ban people right now.
Well, the government took care of this. Look at one example here.
The Marriott's really full, as you can see. Look at all the cars, eh? Isn't that amazing? My God, it's just jam-packed. Of course, there's no rooms available, but you know, you can see why. It's because of all the cars that are down here.
So the government paid taxpayer money to book out all the hotel rooms so that more people will not show up and can take part in the protest.
Oh,
that's what this means.
God, they're so dishonest.
Of course they are. Every single underhanded tactic.
Yeah, because
not even one
car in a big city. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's all fake.
Or they just cleared it out.
For it.
They just
you're
cleared
for
it all out, right? And then they filmed real quick, right?
No, of course. Yeah, right. Oh, this me. Oh, you're saying PolitiFact fact checked video showing empty garages taken out of context.
Amazing.
You know that it's happening, right? That's coming.
Oh, man.
All right. So this is beginning, of course, to spread to other countries as well. Canada has been an inspiration to the rest of Europe and the rest of the West. Australia, the United States, many places in Europe is having and have had successful convoys and continues to have so. On the 14th of February, this is on Valentine's Day, of Monday, there's going to be a big descent, is what you call it, on Brussels, by all these different convoys, but they've started already in some areas. We have some footage out of the Netherlands of just showing you one of the convoys there.
These politicians in Brussels aren't going to get their fine caviar and champagne and lobster. Oh, no.
I think they have...
they'll just fly it right in
probably
their private
have
jets.
Teleporters,
you know?
At this point, and they'll just teleport it in from straight from the North Atlantic Ocean. Here we go. Some of the horns here are just... classic. Listen to this.
Sounds like a freaking train.
Yep.
Those
European
horns. I do like
one.
Those
yeah.
better.
Diddle, 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 diddle. That's fantastic.
A little dissonance.
Yep.
Which is needed.
Let's go.
He's comical, huh?
Yeah. Nice. That's a beautiful one. I love that one.
Yeah, the kids love that. I hear the kid in the background.
Yep. Yep.
It's like a kid's cartoon, you know?
Yeah.
See the truckers.
Exactly. All right, so it goes on for a little bit there, too. For like almost another minute or so there, but you get the point, right? You get the point. So this is what's coming up here February 14th, as to say, 2022. If you're in the area, if you're there, go attend, help out, go to Brussels, support all these people coming. I heard, by the way, in Canada, I forgot to mention that, but I think there was a, was it the blue collar convoy or so? I forget exactly what they had called it. But I think they were going to show up this weekend, if they haven't already showed up, to support the Ottawa Freedom Trucking Convoy as well. So you have different segments of different other fields beyond trucking that's coming and showing up, right? So you've had the farm equipment, mm-hmm. or the farmers shown up as well.
And they support. Do that a lot too in the Netherlands, where we've seen the tractors who have been out protesting against farming regulations and all this like bullshit Agenda 21 kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So they usually come out. We should play the clip of that Dutch politician.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there have been some good ones who's saying, he's basically saying that the COVID restrictions are not about public health, as we all know, but really about implementing, in his words, he says, a scary global control system, which is...
Yeah, is it... let me see here. This one. Yeah, here it is.
Yeah,
right here. That's right. Okay, so let's check that out. What was it? So this is from the Forum for Democracy, right? That mm-hmm. Party, I think.
Dank u wel, mevrouw de voorzitter. Met de komst van Omicron beginnen steeds meer mensen door te krijgen dat corona eigenlijk helemaal geen gevaarlijk virus is. En dat wisten we eigenlijk al jaren sinds de Wereldgezondheidsorganisatie de mortaliteit vaststelde op 0,23%. Ongeveer gelijk met dat van een stevige griep. En toch koos het kabinet en ook het vorige kabinet en ongeveer de hele Kamer al 2 jaar voor om de meest draconische maatregelen op te leggen aan de maatschappij. En dat is gevolg dat nu 50% van de jongeren, volgens onderzoek van Eén Vandaag, kampt met psychische klachten. Dat ondernemers hun levenswerk hebben zien instorten. Dat kinderen in angst opgroeien. Dat families en vriendengroepen zijn verscheurd. En dat ouderen alleen wegkwijnen en eenzaam zijn gestorven. Het kabinet heeft gisteren de coronapas verlengd en uitgebreid naar nieuwe sectoren. Ondanks het feit dat het onderzoek van TU Delft uitwees dat het niet of nauwelijks effect heeft. Dat wisten we ook al lang. Want hoe kan het als het vaccin niet werkt en gevaccineerden gewoon besmettelijk zijn? Hoe kan het effectief zijn als gevaccineerden gewoon ondanks een positieve test een groen vinkje krijgen? Hoe kan het als de QR-code toegepast wordt op plekken waar nauwelijks besmettingen zijn? Voorzitter, waarom zijn al deze vreselijke maatregelen genomen terwijl ze niets met de volksgezondheid te maken hadden? Het antwoord krijgen we van de Europese Commissie. Want zo lezen we op het onderzoeksplatform Follow the Money: het ontwerp van de Europese corona-app was slechts een eerste versie van wat zich kan ontwikkelen tot een volmaakte digital wallet. Zo laat de Europese Commissie aan Follow the Money weten. Die ontwikkeling gaat snel, meldt de woordvoerder. De komende maanden werken we met lidstaten hieraan verder. En mijn vraag aan de minister-president is dan ook wie namens onze regering hierbij betrokken is. Ook lezen we: een digitaal test- en vaccinatiebewijs zal het hele veld van Digital ID op weg helpen. Het gaat niet enkel over COVID-19, maar over iets veel groters, zei Andrew Butt in februari dit jaar in het zakentijdschrift Forbes. Dat is de oprichter en directeur van iProof, een in Londen gevestigd bedrijf dat gezichtsherkenningstechnologie verkoopt aan de Britse corona-app ontwikkelde. En het Franse defensie- en techbedrijf Thales schreef op hun website dat het coronabewijs zal dienen als een opstapje voor de invoering van een digitaal ID-bewijs. Wat is dat eigenlijk, een digital ID? Een digital ID, oftewel een digitaal identiteitsbewijs, is een centrale plek waar allerlei soorten persoonsgegevens kunnen worden verzameld en opgeslagen, die op bedrijven en overheden kunnen worden aangesproken, waarmee iedere gebruiker op het internet te reduceren, te herleiden is tot één persoon. Dat betekent het opheffen van anonimiteit op het internet. Dat betekent het einde van privacy. Dat betekent dat iedere betaling, iedere comment, iedere tweet, maar ook medische gegevens te koppelen zijn aan jou als persoon. Het betekent ook dat overheden en bedrijven voorwaarden kunnen stellen aan toegang tot faciliteiten op basis van die gegevens. Wat we nu hebben gezien met de QR-code van de corona-app is dat je enkel toegang krijgt tot het maatschappelijk leven als je op dit moment nog een vaccin hebt gehaald en vanaf heden ook een booster. Vrijheid is voorwaardelijk geworden en afhankelijk van goed gedrag. Dit systeem kennen we uit China. Een sociaal kredietsysteem. Afhankelijk van hoe mensen zich gedragen, hebben Chinezen wel of geen toegang tot betalingsverkeer. Mogen ze wel of niet op vakantie? Wordt er bepaald of ze toegang hebben tot openbaar vervoer, of ze toegang hebben tot sport en uitgaansleven, zijn winkels en andere faciliteiten voor hen niet langer toegankelijk, en wordt zelfs op basis van gemeenschappelijke contacten beoordeeld of ze wel of geen goede burger zijn. Voorzitter, natuurlijk is het zo dat China in een veel verder gevorderd stadium is. Maar het is allemaal mogelijk met digital identity. Waarschuwen ook experts en wetenschappers in het stuk van Follow the Money. En de VVD is hier voorstander van, de invoering van zo'n digital ID. Dat lezen we in een verkiezingsprogramma. En ook in het regeerakkoord spreekt men de ambitie uit om voortouw te nemen in de ontwikkeling van een digitale identiteit. Het is heel gevaarlijk. De coronapassen werken niet. En er is geen enkele aanleiding om te denken dat ze dat wel doen. Het gaat niet om corona, het gaat om het opbouwen van een permanente digitale infrastructuur voor centrale digitale identiteit. We worden onder valse voorwendselen, onder het mom van volksgezondheid, in een heel eng controlesysteem gerommeld. En FVD zal zich hier met hand en tand tegen verzetten.
Dank u wel.
Dank u wel.
He's not wrong.
Nope.
He's right. Nope. He's absolutely right. Yep. That's what it's about.
Guys covered. They've been pretty good. Some of this. I'm not sure
some good ones in
where they are on demographics things. And immigration. I think they're somewhat okay on immigration, but Forum for Democracy seems they have some good guys in there. They expose a lot of this stuff. So that's good. Bringing attention to it, you know, on a national stage in the Netherlands. Quick mention here too. France, right? They're also preparing. Look at some of this footage here. Armored vehicles are not being sent in because Paris is set to receive one of the convoys as well. Right?
Yeah, so now they're all going to get paranoid everywhere in all these cities. Oh, yep. No. These trucks of peace are coming in.
The terrorists are coming. So they're sending out the big guard here, right?
I love how none of these... We didn't see any of these during the migrant invasion.
Nope.
You know, I would have loved to see a bunch of these tanks around then, but nope.
Nope, far left protests. Nope.
Now they bring out the big guns. Fine. Number that's 33 fine. There, you know? Big guns.
So there you go. So, you know what's coming down the pipe there. They're preparing, and they're watching Canada for that reason. They're like, they're scared. They're frightened. They're scared that people can figure out that they can start taking power back.
And that's why this is important. You know. That's why they need to be out there and showing big numbers like that.
Yeah, that's right.
In the hands of all the people at the end of the day.
Paris braces for Canada-style convoys against COVID vaccine rules. So that's good. But let's see. Did you have any there? Are we caught up?
I think I'm caught up.
Okay, let me... Check what else we had here. What do we have? We have armored vehicles. We talked about the Dutch politician.
How about in Austria, the mom that was trying to buy clothes for her
child? That's right. Yeah. That's the one we're going to play.
And she couldn't get in because she wasn't vaccinated.
So check out this mom here, right? It's good that they're doing... In one way, it's good that they're doing it this way to just show how absurd this is. Where, like, you can stand here... But two feet this way. No, you're not allowed to come in here.
Yeah, once you see the footage, you'll understand. And like the mall is looks relatively empty.
It's Austria, right? So she sends her little 7-year-old girl in there.
Die sind zu groß.
Put on your pants. They look too big, she says.
Die sind zu groß. Bitte nimm zugemachte Patschen. Hol zugemachte Patschen.
I think take a smaller pair, I think she says.
Die Bankomatnummer steht drauf. Lass es nur bitte
nicht
haben.
And there's no one in the store.
Nope, no one in there.
Like maybe 5 people or something. Super. How is that any different from being on the outside?
It isn't really. It's a technicality. But see, again, these people aren't restricting people's freedom. These people aren't creating inconveniences, right?
No, they'll say, well, why don't you just shop online? And so they'll say, well, that's not the point here, is it?
Or they say, or why don't you just go and get vaccinated?
And also sometimes it's hard with the kid, especially with shoes.
Of course. Anyway, you get the idea, right? Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, this is absurd. And I had heard
there
actually...
Coming out. Go ahead, Lauren.
This is crazy. I mean, parts of Europe, as we know, you still can't... I think in the Baltic still, there's areas where you can't get gas. Right? Gas for your car without proving that you're vaccinated.
Yeah.
I heard that there are some gas stations in Seattle doing the same thing. I have a friend up there who saw that, and she's going to film that and send me that footage, that there was a gas pump that she went to that was actually locked. You had to go inside and show your vax card and then go back out, and then they unlock it so you could put gas in your car. So I asked her to send some footage because I had no idea about that. I didn't hear anything about that. In the Seattle area.
Absolutely insane.
Just real quick, Odin Land said, in reference to the trucks a piece that were getting ready to come in, Odin Land says, the scary bouncy castles are coming. Exactly.
Yep. Watch out.
Dog Whistler says, I love how I understood those magic words that translate in all languages, follow the money, digital ID, profit and overhead, COVID are words that all synonymous with globalist. Exactly.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's
Der Cherusker says, in the current era, demanding freedom of speech will achieve nothing. We must fight for our freedom. It's time to blow the Gjallarhorn.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly. It's not just about demanding freedom of speech, right? But
because that's not how you get it.
No. I mean, we must have that.
Oh, please, tyrant, let me speak.
Right. No, we must have that in addition to everything else, right? But again, that's usually how it begins. If you cannot voice your concerns or discontent or rally people around you over an issue that you know you're struggling with or whatever, you have nothing, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's in a weird way, it's the first thing to go, maybe of sorts. But it's also like a breaking point for how you organize. If you can talk about your ideas, that's like you're out, you know. So of course, in the wake of all of this, as they're pushing the vaccine on, Austria, they're doing it now. That's why we show that footage there, right? They're beginning this process in Germany, and many other fields and businesses are still doing this, while some countries are doing away with them. Sweden, I covered that. They were doing away with the corona restrictions, and I have not yet seen any specific restrictions on people that are vaccine free or pure bloods. For a while they said that special precaution they said has to be taken, but I haven't seen any more details of what that is or what it would imply. So at least for now it looks legit, but that doesn't mean at any moment there could be a new variant that pops up and we're all back in the game again, right? That's why the Canadian truckers have said no, we need to do away with the ability for them to ever do this again, right? It's to prevent them from... Because, look, it will be super AIDS. I mean, literally, like, that's what they're talking about now. So it's super AIDS tomorrow, or it will be smallpox or Marburg, or it will be anything.
I love how we haven't
heard
about AIDS for years, except for that we need to accept people with AIDS and even have sex with them because it's actually safe, right?
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, super AIDS!
Yep. Right? It's happening for a reason. They're developing mRNA vaccines against AIDS now, right? So it stands to reason, if they prep us now for something is coming back and, oh, this could be a dangerous, we have to use the mRNA vaccines now, then they begin the vaccination program, and boom, miraculously, all of a sudden all these cases are starting to show up again of people having super AIDS. What could possibly be the root of this, right? But anyway, so speaking about this insane vaccine mandates and stuff, right? COVID-19 vaccines linked to menstrual cycle changes, yet another conspiracy that happens to become real, right? New study shows slight shifts in cycle length can fall. It's way more than that, by the way.
A slight shift, and yeah. By the way, there's women who have gone through menopause who are getting their period again. I actually know someone who knows someone who had that happen too. Yeah, but it is funny. This new study, and I saw EU is also going to investigate into menstrual disorders, you know, after this shot. It's funny how they always investigate these supposed tinfoil hat truths years later. After the fact, right? But since they can't admit that they were right, and that all the women that got the jab were also telling the truth about, you know, their messed up period, they'll come to some other bogus excuse, or as they've been saying, they'll say, yeah, but it's temporary, and what is the word? It's still worth it, and you should still take it, right?
Safe and effective.
You might not have a baby, but you should still take it, right? Your arms might fall off, but you should still take it. That's just always their line. You should still take it.
Yeah, it's still safe and effective. No, it prevents you from dying. You see, and it prevents you from staying in the hospital. No, you won't even get fat. Remember, just a few months. You're like, well, 6 months ago, maybe 7 months ago. It will cut the enemy short. You can't even spread it to other people. Right? That's what they said. And it's like, look at how they're backtracked. And again, now we're back to literally admitting all the things that what happened to believe all women, by the way? Wasn't that a thing? And all of a sudden they're having menstrual issues with the most precious, you know, the reproductive cycle.
Oh,
thing,
yeah. Right? I mean, for years they've been showing period blood in our face. And then now in this case, like those women saying,
doesn't matter now.
Yeah. I got a lot more of it than I should. And at weird times, even after 70.
It's all this a hierarchy of objectives. And there's if you have a previous sacred category in that hierarchy that supersedes that, then you to all throw out the window. It didn't mean, now it doesn't mean anything, right? Everything is just used as a hammer against our society and our people, basically. That's what it's about. So EU did that. And what else do we have? We have check out this, by the way. This is a little bit different here, but we had a Boston mayor that came in recently, a new one. I definitely think she is a diversity hire. She's called Michelle Wu, and she was doing, I think, maybe it's Instagram. I'm not sure where they do these things. Instagram live feed. Now look at the chat. She comes on there live to attack. You know, how did I do so far? Right? She's getting some positive feedback. Look at this here. Look at the comments.
Oh, since she's unable to join. Okay. In the meantime, I will
cut the stream.
Try to just fill time by answering any questions anyone has.
Yeah, plenty of questions are.
See a lot of
one. Thank you for keeping us safe in a global pandemic.
Friends, oh my gosh.
Who, have different. Oh, Happy New Year! Yes, Year of the Tiger.
She can take that one.
Yep. Hey.
And it's, of course, a Chinese.
Very good, theme. Yeah. Happy Lunar Year, yes.
You're the tiger. You got some tigers in the chats there.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, we're checking with the congresswoman's team, and if it comes down to it,
uncomfortable. She's going to go cry.
Pretending it's not working
I
now?
I can feel her feels are hurt. help me here. Help me.
Do you understand now why they want to stop?
What's my favorite thing about Boston winter?
Oh my god! Did she just make one up there? I didn't see that one.
I love snow.
Leave Boston.
Leave Boston. Go back to China.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. That's what. You know why they want it? Well, why they want that digital ID now, right? They want you know that you shouldn't.
Oh
be
my
able
god!
To be
who
anonymous.
Told me to leave Boston?
You should be criminal.
We need to find them and put them in prison immediately.
My feelings were hurt. You've offended a member of the elites, right? All right, should we go to Houston?
Yeah, so this is kind of funny. So this is from 2020, but this guy, he is the mayor still of Houston, and he's just telling criminals to just chill, okay? Just resume your activities. He's basically saying this. Just don't commit crime during the pandemic. Just wait until after the pandemic to resume criminal activities. Check it out.
And let me just make my plea. Until the coronavirus is resolved, criminals take a break, okay? Stay home, okay? Stay home and don't commit any crimes. And that way, they'll stay safe and out of jail. And police officers will stay safe and can go home to their families, okay? So everybody chill. Crooks, criminals, you chill. Wait till the coronavirus is over.
Yeah, then you can.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we'll all be okay.
Wait until it's over, then it'll all be okay, criminals. Then you can resume.
Then we can start killing each other.
Then when it's safer, you can resume your dangerous criminal activities. I mean, it's just funny.
Hold off on the black and white crime a little bit.
Oh, he's just having fun joking around. No, this guy talks like this. Like, just chill, okay? Chill. Now, Houston has become a total shithole, by the way. I remember being there for a friend's wedding. I just couldn't believe what is happening to Texas. It is outrageous. And looks like a third world country in a lot of areas.
Yep.
And the crime, like Houston, is bad. It is bad.
And as usual, of course, it's this expectation, too, that, criminals, just like the virus takes a break, right? You got to go home at 11 p.m. or something. It's like, because it takes a break before that. And then after that point, when everyone's going, then the virus ravages everywhere. Same thing with the criminals, right? You can just tell them to please obey these rules that we have here for you. And then they'll observe that and they'll honor that for you. No, not a problem.
And who's doing most of the crime there in Houston, by the way? I should ask the mayor that question, huh?
I think I think there's a huge mob from Luxembourg, I've heard, ravaging the area.
I don't know. Those Swedes in Houston, too, you know? They're such a problem.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be a huge problem. Northern Europeans are causing havoc. Here's another mayor. New York City, new one. Remember that time that Trump said something offensive about some person or something? But listen to this. It's totally fine, though, this lunatic in New York.
Every day in the police department, I kicked those crackers' ass, man. I was unbelievable in the police department when you keep running black to law enforcement. Came a sergeant, a lieutenant, and a captain. You know the story. Some people all of a sudden trying to reinvent me.
Yeah, there you go. So that's fine though. We don't have to write about that or anything. That's totally fine. I didn't see that in the mainstream news that he calls white people crackers and how he beats them up or whatever. Yeah, that was great. Well, I mean, considering they have two stories where there was negative pressure on sub-Saharan Africans.
Now we can't be racist now. Right? So we have to show a base black guy
that's
too.
Right.
Well, exactly. I happen to see this guy, a very black name here, Dr. Peterson Pierre. MD and part of America's frontline doctors. And there's this clip here. He's basically following the COVID money trail, showing how much hospitals make. And what is it called again? I thought it was frontline fash at first, by the way. I was like, whoa, that's bold, frontline fash. But it turns out it's frontline flash.
Oh, all right. So here we go. Base black guy. Some good stuff here, though. Listen up.
Hello, fact finders and truth seekers. This is Dr. Peterson Pierre with America's Frontline Doctors bringing you today's Frontline Flash. So the current situation is this. If you have COVID and you end up in the hospital, you're put on a rigid protocol and there's high mortality rate in the hospital and your family is kept in the dark as to what's happening. So what's going on here? Number one, the CARES Act is providing bonus payments to hospitals whenever you have a diagnosis of COVID. And then number two, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services is waiving patient rights. This is a deadly combination. So here's what happens. You get a payment because you offer a free COVID test in the emergency room. You get a boost payment if you have a diagnosis of COVID. Number three, you get another bonus payment if you are admitted with COVID. Number four, you get another bonus payment if you're put on remdesivir. Number five, another bonus payment if you're put on a mechanical ventilator. Number six, another 20% bonus if the diagnosis on your death certificate says COVID, even though you
That's
may
crazy.
Not have died
Remember
from
Remember how
COVID.
Much of that we saw? They can just type it in and then they
I'm sorry, let me pause here. Right. Okay, go
So
go ahead,
all they have to do is type that in to the death certificate and then it's ka-ching. You know, they get paid. It's amazing that it's that easy. It's amazing how much money. And he goes through
this.
It, but it's like $100,000 per patient or something they get. That's why
absolutely.
So many people have gone into the hospital. It's not COVID. And then next thing they know, there's a ventilator in their face, you know?
Yeah, so that means that whole hospital, which is, again, many, I think, what, the 98% of, I could be wrong in this, but like, at least in the U.S., right, they're run as for-profit hospitals, right? Aren't they? I mean, there's some, like, volunteer, there's some charity-type things, right? But for the most part, these are for-profit hospitals, right? So you're doing a little bad monetarily? Well, just turn up that cycle threshold on that PCR test. And, well, look at that. Well, you tested positive. You have a comorbidity? Well, it turns out it's not an issue with your liver. It's actually COVID that's causing this. We have to put you on a ventilator. Here's remdesivir.
They're all
and
about
here they're
profit.
Killing. I mean, they're killing you.
They're not 4%. About curing and healing people. Otherwise, they wouldn't give you freaking Jello and saltines when you're, like, out of surgery. You know?
Look, they want you back right in there to suck. And it's reverse. I've said it many times, but it's reverse in the socialist healthcare system, such in Sweden.
They want to kill you to not pay for you, right?
They want to either kill you or just kick you out as soon as possible
Here
and not help you.
Here they want to milk you every cent before you die.
Yeah. So it's two wonderful systems that we're stuck between here. There's the only options, right? I say this. Doctors don't get paid until they cure you. How about that? Let's do that. Let's try that one out and see what happens, right? But yeah, so that means it's a financial incentive, not only for the positive test, but for the medication, for even for having you on the damn death certificate, or the COVID, and having you, on your death certificate.
It's a bribe.
Tied to that,
it's
right?
It's bribe money.
And again, so, I mean, remdesivir, I think the studies on that shows that it is
Doesn't
a 4% increase of you dying when you go on those medications. And again, Fauci is tied to that, just like the AIDS scam and all that whole shit too, of that medication. Remember,
they're making
like,
money while they kill a bunch of people and help depopulate.
And the very medication they're offered to prevent something is what's causing the problem and the disease, even in many cases, right? Just with like the vaccine.
On your death certificate says COVID, even though you may not have died from COVID. And then number 7, there's bonus payments to corpse.
Party footage there.
Do you understand the gravity of what's happening right now? The Biden administration is literally paying hospitals to kill.
And it should be said, though, that whole thing was initiated under Trump. Those are still protocols. They might have changed and altered that a bit. But that was Operation Warp Speed and all the CARES Act and stuff. That was under Trump, you know?
That's what's happening. This is terrible. We need to stop that. These are real human lives we're talking about. They're priceless. It's estimated at about $100,000 per patient is what the hospital is getting. Think about that.
And who's paying for that?
Ladies and gentlemen, the real news of right now continues on the next.
Okay.
Yeah, Cuckfree Zone says, doctors don't get paid until they cure you, right?
Yep.
Quote, Henrik for president. He has my vote. My dad always says that too. Doctors shouldn't get paid until they cure you, right?
That's right.
Because in America, that's what they do. They milk you and milk you and milk you and just make you sicker. Dog Whistler says, just saw your clip with Mayor Adams. Did you see the report? The new mayor of New York just hired his brother, a street cop, who has made $64,000 a year for a new job in New York, where he is now getting $210,000 as a senior advisor.
I know. It's is all nepotism.
And
it's tribal
all,
mindset.
Chill, chill, cracker. Chill, cracker.
Chill, cracker. I'm going to have my brother. Hey, brother. Hey, literal brother. How's he doing, brother?
Conservative thinker says, money, Henrik brother? For Emperor Prime.
There we go. Watch out. okay, so thank you to the based black guy. We appreciate you. Very good that you're keeping up to speed on these things. Very important. Let me do a couple of Australia things here now, because it's, of course, the lunacy.
This one clip is supposed to be serious, but I was just cracking up the whole time.
Which one of them? Of these
oh,
three?
Oh, the one you're going to play later.
Oh, okay.
The voices, the digital voices.
Oh, that one is coming up too. I almost forgot about that one. But so check out this verse. Of course, who could have predicted this when it comes to the goalpost being moved when it comes to fully vaccinated individuals? Australia.
Good morning. Australians now need a third dose of a COVID COVID vaccine be considered fully vaccinated in shape-up to our health protocols. Let's go live to political reporter Taylor Aiken in Canberra. Good morning, Taylor. What does this mean for people who haven't had a booster
totally
yet?
I'm totally not reading from a teleprompter.
Good morning,
right
Jody.
Now.
Well, it means that they won't be considered up to date with their vaccination, with states to decide any mandates, particularly for healthcare, on an individual basis. Acting on advice from Otagi, the National Cabinet urged people to get their booster dose within 6 months of their second shot. However, those who work in aged care will require three doses in order to keep working. However, those who want to travel both to and from Australia would only require two doses to be considered fully vaccinated. Meanwhile, the National Cabinet has also agreed to shift to Phase D of the national reopening plan.
Like clapping.
This final phase will see a move to living with COVID, where the virus is managed similarly to the flu, with minimal restrictions or lockdowns imposed. States are also set to prepare a winter preparedness report, with health officials expecting a second Omicron wave and even a severe flu season. And as Australia...
It just never ends now. It never ends. How can you just expect? How do you know?
I bet you they're bringing up this thing with the flu because they want to do that. Remember the super booster that they're talking about now?
Yeah,
remember the,
merging, I think it was Moderna. Like flu and COVID.
Yeah, like an mRNA shot both for flu and COVID and the Omicron variant specific one, right? So here's a check back on some of our favorites. They've been continuing in Australia. Here's the beauty. What's her name again?
Chat might have like it.
They do always look like this. Listen to what she says about the booster here.
A booster protects you. And I've made it very clear that for Omicron, you need to consider three doses as being up to date, and for some people, four. So there's no doubt you need the three doses. And anyone who is feeling that two doses is enough is incorrect. The science is very clear on that.
Science is very clear on
I'm
that.
I'm sorry,
right?
It's like Jacinda, that mouth and those
what
teeth.
What's her name again?
What is going on there?
It's almost like Gary Busey. Yeah, it's a little bit of that. What is her name again? I it doesn't matter, but you know. Here's the other guy, the other lunatic matter. Too. Remember these? Like, we've covered these people like in waves of lunacy, and then we like leave them a little bit and something else happens, like the stuff in Canada. And then you realize these people are still at it. They've never gone away. This shit is still happening down there too. Listen to this lunatic here.
We want our businesses to stay open. But workers who aren't vaccinated won't be at work in a lockout. So if you want your business to stay open during an outbreak, make sure your workers are vaccinated. To help make this new policy work once you reach the next phase, we are working on upgrading the Territory check-in app so that it can be linked to your vaccination certificate. That will help venues ensure that only vaccinated people are entering their premises during a lockdown or lockout situation. And I'll make this point. Businesses and venues will have the right to refuse entry to unvaccinated people, whether or not there is an outbreak. So, for example, if organisations like AFLNT decide that all players and spectators at all footy games in the future must be vaccinated, that is their right, and we will back them in to enforce their right. So I'll say it again and again. If you want your life to continue close to normal, get your jab.
Oh my God. Do you see his eyes? He's just like psychotic about it. But I love how his purple glasses match his purple sport coat too. You know, he put some thought into that, you know, while he's making threats with his crazy bird eyes at you. You know?
You're right. I didn't even see that. Look at that. Like, what is he? Like a 65-year-old lady?
I don't know. It's always a guy like this big tough talk, you know, and he's got his like purple glasses. Like, oh God.
Yeah, Grant, right? Or Chant, I think it is. The other one lady I was asking for, someone in chat said, Carrie Chancellor or Chance or something. And then this guy, this is not Dan Andrews. They just blend together.
And I really
sometimes.
Just don't care about their names.
So important. Check out this. This is kind of weird, though. The Atlantic. Open up everything. The time to end pandemic restrictions is now.
And is there a but somewhere?
What the hell is going on?
Or is it one of those where it's ... for the vaccinated? Like, I've seen these before.
Yeah. No.
They don't mean for everybody.
The thing here some countries. So some countries, the reason why they're opening up is because they're basically giving you a pat on the back, collectively speaking, as a population. Good little slaves. You obeyed. You took the shot. 80% of you took the shot. Well, we'll ease up on some stuff for now. But again, just keep in mind, all of this could change at any moment again, just like it did with the Omicron thing. It was basically going out the window and then, oh, here's Omicron, new booster, new, blah, 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 you know. So they could change. But it's also, you have to keep in mind that at the same time, they're also realizing that there's a massive, they're watching Canada, they're watching populist movements, they're watching politicians from the outside getting more traction, and they're seeing that, like, yeah, we're losing credibility, right? I mean, I say, again, I've said this before, I think we're kind of on our last run of, like, lineup of politicians. Either they're going to just, the Great Reset's going to happen, it's going to be a supply chain collapse, it's going to be an attack on the infrastructure, so something major is going to happen that allows these politicians to basically be indefinitely in power after this point. So we'll see what happens. I could be wrong in that, of course. But anything could change at any moment when it comes to these things. But I think they're beginning to realize that it's we're kind of pushing a bit hard, you know what I mean? While, of course, in Canada, now they're forced to continue to push, because otherwise it would look like they're giving up, they're conceding. And it will also show the rest of the world that what they're doing is working. So there's even international pressure on the Canadian system now to say, for the love of God, don't give in. You can't let these truckers win, which is the very reason why they're going to overplay their hand, which is the very reason why I think the method that's being used is going to be maybe not victorious. It's too grandiose, but I'm saying it will have huge impact, basically.
Yeah.
So I hope so, anyway.
Big news here. Flying Dutchman says the Prime Minister of Canada is a homo.
Holy shit. Is that is that confirmed now? What happened with the divorce?
Just waiting. I think that happened. Maybe she did leave him because of that, you know?
It's definitely possible. I mean, the clown?
I think that
we stayed focused on following the science, on promoting public health rules, and Canadians stepped up in their communities. They stepped up for the frontline health workers.
I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Dog Whistler says primary elections for 2022 midterms is coming up soon. Don't be surprised if they lift restrictions till immediately after the votes in March and April, because establishment politicians in America are afraid of losing their renomination.
Just what I'm saying. I think
that way.
And I mean, I'm not trying to say, oh, it's the Democrats that are doing this to us. Like, look, the Trump admin was clearly in on this. Some of the people he had in his administration, and the COVID people and stuff, they have a finger in all of this, right? And he did Operation Warp Speed and stuff. And sure, he was, you know, slightly better on some things. I'm not going to deny that. But at the same time, it's like, I think they're feeling that it's like this could be bad for them if they continue to push too hard. They're boiling the frog too fast, and I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes are they smart enough to realize this, or maybe the people that are running like the supercomputer simulations on the back end, the people you don't even know the name of, not the people that you see on the cameras and the people, you know, reading the teleprompters, but the very people informing those people on the back end that have access to these, like, you know, vast AI. Department of
they've
Defense
They've computed
systems.
The various outcomes, right?
Yeah.
And they've said, and it's saying, not good for you if you continue down this road. So
ease
you
off
should ease
a little
off
bit
a little
here.
Bit.
Take it easy, you know.
Right.
All right. Why don't we, let's play that, the digital license, right? We'll get a license for that. Grooming a new generation of snitches in the digital environment. This is also...
Remember when no one liked a tattletale in school? I remember when that kid was always on everyone's shit list. Like, oh, the tattletale. Oh, no one liked that. Now everyone's a tattletale.
I don't know. The history book I read, I think that was... They took that out of those history books.
Hey there, Dex.
I see you've been online for some time now. And why wouldn't you? Digital technology is a big part of our lives these days.
Yeah. I was about to hit level 10 on Flip Hero until you cut me off.
I know. You're a gaming whiz. But have you got what it takes to earn your digital license?
Huh? Digital license? What's that?
Come with me. I'll show you. Welcome to Firewall Academy, the HQ of the eSmart Digital License Plus, an online platform where you train for your digital license. Here you'll build your digital intelligence, giving you the knowledge and skills needed to harness the opportunities on the net.
The net that we control and have stifled, so it's only our shit on it.
Can't come on, just go back to making my TikTok, you know, please. You're just brilliant in this fake digital world we control.
Good digital intelligence, yeah.
Hear me out. To thrive in a digital world, we need to know stuff.
What do I need to know?
I have to know stuff all the time anyway.
Yeah, so?
All kinds of things, like why it's hard to put phones down, why people act the way they do online, what to look out for to stay
look
safe.
On their phone to okay, find out why it's hard to put it down.
What good is knowing all that stuff if no one knows how to deal with it?
We know how to deal with it.
Feels. My feels.
There's plenty of ways to deal with it, and you'll learn that too through your training. There's a whole toolkit of strategies.
Oh, God, it's always these key
words. What good are strategies if you don't believe they'll work in real life?
Through your training, you will test your own values and develop the belief in yourself to be kind, empathetic, and vigilant digital citizens.
Yep.
Unless it's a digital Nazi, citizen. Then you're like...
Yep, bring on the digital license.
Yeah, look at that. All of a sudden, they have three questions. They had three questions, and what's the point of all of this? And then by the third one, they're like, yep, that's it. I'm so sold. Bring on the digital license.
Vigilant digital citizens.
Oh, man.
Yep, I'm in.
That's it. Yep, okay.
Bring on the digital license.
There we go. Bring it on.
Teachers, it's super easy to set up for your students. Unlock modules for them and monitor their progress. Lesson plans,
so it's just
curriculum
some, like,
alignment,
bullshit course
send home
they made up, and then they can feel good about themselves after they take it, right? It's
yeah.
like totally biased for their BS liberal values, right?
But it's like, so reporting and snitching, and you got to have, like, you know, a digital license to do things. And again, all this is part of that, you know, ending anonymity online, right? So you got to be, you can be held liable if you say something mean to someone.
They're about
or
grooming these kids for this Orwellian totalitarian tech system, right? So it's oh, look at this cute little e-smart digital license test. It's like a video game.
It's fun, and you can learn, and you win, you know, get more points, you know, submission points or approval points.
And
or
it's not political at all. No, it's just
it's just about,
neutral.
Something like this is going to show, it's already kind of here, but like when it comes to like factual information and things like that too, like we've exposed all the misinformation. We know that now, what's wrong and what's right. So we have, what do we have here as well? I guess that kind of wraps up that segment. This one I want to show real quick regarding censorship. So Germany has been, going after Telegram for some time, and they basically wanted to ban it because a lot of the anti-COVID protests and stuff had been organized using Telegram. So they've suspended 64 channels at the request of the German Federal Ministry of the Interior and Federal Criminal Police Office. One of the South German newspapers reports, basically. I believe this is the exact same thing that Gab received, but they just didn't comply, as far as I know. What was the third option they went for? I think not to do anything, I think. I forget exactly what it was that they said. It remains to be seen, but obviously an entire country can just ban or block their IP addresses from reaching a certain service, as far as I understand.
And
it,
by
right?
seeing new waves of hate and threats threats against their democracy and their politicians, it's basically just posting videos of things they've actually said and done, right? It's just, it's the same shit. Beetlejuice asks, will my digital license be jeopardized by watching Red Eyes? Yes, they might revoke they might revoke that.
Your license might not approve. Here's the minister here, the German woman.
Yeah. Isn't it so much better when women are in charge?
Yeah, this is more peaceful.
Not Germany's finest, that's for sure.
It's more, more spiritual, more kind of tied to, you know, kind of the feminine.
A little manly. Yep.
All right. Okay.
Before you go to Ukraine, Black Phillip says, I hate to say it, but that's my mayor, Michelle Wu, that you played, the darling of white liberals. She's actually really unpopular because she started vaccine passports in the city and extended the mask mandates. Her husband is also a merchant banker.
Well, there you go. Isn't that what is?
Yeah, they
what
love
is that,
that combo.
Asian...
They love that combo right now. That
Jewish
banker
husband, Asian
and the
woman
Chinese
kind of combo.
Wife.
So they're grooming the next. Did you see that? Remember the meme with Zuckerberg holding his baby? did you see that?
I don't
remember that.
Can you visualize it?
I think it's a hate crime just showing that picture. Someone had superimposed a face on Zuckerberg's little one there. But anyway, so that's, you know, that's the new the new elite in China that's going to take over, right? All right. So yes, war in with Russia in using Ukraine as proxy is of course continuing. It's wrapping up. They're not giving up. They're continuing to push all these dumb lies that basically Russia is going to invade any moment. And we'll see. Maybe I'll have to eat my words. And it really did happen, and they really will do it. At this point, at least, it feels like the U.S. U.K. NATO type of alliance is pushing as hard as they can, you know, to make it seem that they're invading, so that they can, you know, go in preemptively or something. I'm not sure what their strategy or plan is here. But they're basically now saying that, you know, ambassadors, not only ambassadors, by the way, everybody they've said have to leave Ukraine because we're this close to war. Here's, in fact, the National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan talking about how the all Americans need to leave Ukraine within the next 24 to 48 hours. Listen to this.
We are continuing to reduce the size of our embassy footprint in Kyiv. And I now want to take a moment to echo what both President Biden and Secretary Blinken have already said. We encourage all American citizens who remain in Ukraine to depart immediately. We want to be crystal clear on this point. Any American in Ukraine should leave as soon as possible, and in any event, in the next 24 to 48 hours. We obviously cannot predict the future. We don't know exactly what is going to happen. But the risk is now high enough, and the threat is now immediate enough that this is what prudence demands. If you stay, you are assuming risk with no guarantee that there will be any other opportunity to leave, and there no prospect of a U.S. military evacuation in the event of a Russian invasion. If a Russian attack on Ukraine proceeds, it is likely to begin with aerial bombing and missile attacks that could obviously kill civilians without regard to their nationality. A subsequent ground invasion would involve the onslaught of a massive force. With virtually no notice, communications to arrange a departure could be severed and commercial transit halted. No one would be able to count on air or rail or road departures once military action got underway.
So, you know, we've covered this a few times now, but they continue to ramp up the rhetoric to basically kind of will this into
existence.
Yeah,
they keep saying things, trying to make it so, but they're just completely speculating on everything at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw just on Twitter before we began, they were saying, you know, the U.S. government's like, next week, we think it's next week that Russia's going to make a move. You know, it's like they keep trying to egg something on or make it happen somehow with their sheer will, you know, and their lies in the media.
Yep, and then of course Russia holds the key to the basically the energy supply in Europe now, which is just insane that they're lining. It's almost like they want Europeans to die as many as possible, so they you know, kind of entice Russia into like shutting off the gas just because they're so dumb or something. I'm not sure. Remarkably, France. Look, I'm not. You know, I wish we could add some like super genius, like you. Yeah, you do some Tesla type technology. And use the dynamo effect of the earth and harness that, or like some do wave machines out in the ocean. Like there's all
just
these things, like
yet.
Tokamak reactors. Maybe you have some free energy device, and like sure, I'd love to see that. But in the meantime, at least until we actually have that, you know, nuclear power, as bad as it is fairly good. I've heard that there is some technology to deal even with the nuclear waste, right? The spent nuclear fuel, and if you can limit the time exposure on that, and or the half life, and or just deal with it in some way, that would be ideal, right? But even France have now, like, suddenly for some reason got their head out of their ass and decided to build four new reactors. Will it happen? I'm not sure. But like, what are you going to do? All energy is going to come from? You're building all these electrical vehicles and stuff, but then you're decommissioning everything. It's completely insane. Mm. But anyway, speaking of Russia, go back to that point again. Look, he says here, the advisor here we listened to warned Friday today that a Russian invasion of Ukraine could come before the conclusion of the Winter Olympics on February 20th. They have this the Olympics thing. I'm not sure what is going on with that. But the Olympics, you know, a big international event and a lot of eyes on, you know, on the world and the competitors and the countries and stuff like that. And they've even gone to such a degree that they limited Russia's ability to compete in the games. Now, they pin it on like, you know, doping or like use of not approved substances. But remember, much of that was triggered, you know, there's some other things. I'm not saying 100% it's this. But many of the substances that they were, you know, convicted is not the right word, but charged for violating was DHEA. Remember that?
Which comes from yams. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a natural.
DHEA is already a natural hormone in your body.
Yeah. So like that
and
was one of them.
People take a DHEA supplement. I've taken it plenty of times. It doesn't. It's not doping. You don't feel any. You just feel normal.
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
Right. It is natural. So anyway, that's kind of what begun that whole thing. But apparently this has resulted now because the Winter Olympics in Beijing has begun and they're doing all this crazy.
Oh my gosh! Look at all that white supremacy. Germany, Norway, Netherlands, Sweden, Austria.
Yeah, I know, right? The gold medals and stuff so far. But yeah, they have this crazy like smart city type thing of the Olympic Village there, like face reading robots and all that crazy stuff, right? And again, all in the name of keeping you safe from COVID and stuff, right? I'm not sure what happened with the anal Schwabs.
Oh, it's happening. I'm sure.
But anyway, my point is, I'm going in circles here. ROC, they're number 8th right now on the medal tally. ROC, I saw this earlier, I was like, ROC? What the hell is this ROC? And then you realize, oh, it's the Russian Olympic Committee or something like that.
So they couldn't even put Russia there.
You're not allowed to have a Russian flag or the Russian name if you are from Russia and competing. So they have invented a separate category. Just for, again, this is all because of the international pressure and Russia bad. And it's like, yes, they do suck on some issues. I'm not saying that they're perfect. That's not what I'm arguing here.
Yeah, but this
not
is the ridiculous. Point.
But it's clear that they're being singled out, right? And like, you know, unique pressure on them and so forth. And so again, you can't spread any nationalistic pride or like look like Russia is doing well internationally and stuff like that. So now they've resulted to
unreal.
This.
Unreal.
Yeah, who is rock in the Winter Olympics?
I hope they get a bunch of gold medals now.
Not to be confused with the Republic of China.
That's what I thought at first.
Russian athletes wearing white, blue, and red uniforms and winning plenty of medals. So anyway, they're doing pretty good, I think. Norway, of course, is doing real good. Germany just surpassed them. I saw them earlier today, I think it was. Norway's like number one there. They have, well, actually, medal tally, though, number of medals. Norway's number one. ROC.
Winter sports kind of belongs to, you know, Europeans, yeah. Especially Northern Europeans.
Germany, Netherlands is doing well. Sweden's 9. Okay, it's not too shabby. Anyway, I have no interest in watching any. I might watch some of the hockey. I do confess sometimes I do enjoy that. But anyway, okay.
No,
so that's
won't.
What they're doing now. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I think I can make some time for it. It's actually, Rick would like it though. I want to get him into hockey. That's why. So you need to see some of that first. You know what I mean?
I played
hockey
too.
Until I was like what, 15, 16, something like that. And it was like I was pretty good too. You know,
so good exercise toughens them up.
Could have gone somewhere. So I like hockey. And again, listen, it's the widest of sports, right? So it's okay. Anyway, this is what the British are doing. British nationals advised to leave Ukraine immediately.
Brother.
The Foreign, Commonwealth, and Development Office today updated its travel advice to Ukraine and is now advising British nationals against all travel to Ukraine. So again, it's like, is the threat real? What are they doing? Are they exaggerating this, right? This was, let me see, what was this again? Oh, this was initially a Telegram post. I'm sorry, I'm confused here. National Security and Defense Council of Ukraine has decided to increase, that's what it says here, the territorial defense forces to 2 million people now. I mean, look, recently Ukraine said something like, stop it, America, stop it, NATO, you're just making it worse, you're causing panic, it's getting worse for us. But they seem to go along on this on some level, you know, kind of thing, which is kind of weird. So we'll see what happens at the end here. We'll see how they kind of play their hand here. But don't be surprised if the NATO side actually does a real, a false flag of some kind and then blame it on Russia. And then we see a full-on fledged conflict here, right? It would be a disaster.
They would love that. Another brotherly war between two white countries. They would love it.
And then everyone else that would be dragged into this too. But chances of a world war, I don't know. It feels like it will be different types of conflicts. But again, you never know. Don't put anything past them. They'd love to have us fight, you know? Okay. One of the last things I want to cover is the
hold on here. Bill Hoover just says, the anti-nuclear movement is completely fabricated by the people that were controlled Russia during the Soviet Union. All of the nuclear accidents happened when certain groups controlled the Soviet Union. We now know who controls the oil in Russia now.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a Gazprom, right? One of the biggest ones. I know at least for a while there was some of the oligarchs were kicked out of that. But did they take it over? I think maybe they took it over again or something like that. Chernobyl, though, that's in that's in Ukraine, right? That's then when was that? 80, let me see, 88. Yeah, it was still the part of the Soviet Union then. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, sometimes it feels like they're intentionally creating problems with it to make it seem that it's like, no, we can't rely on this, you know, kind of thing. If they just could deal with the spent fuel in some way, it's a fairly okay method.
I just feel that they're not interested in solutions, and they're also not interested in clean energy, if you will, or free energy, because they don't want it to be free. And they don't want a nice, clean, prosperous, happy world, do they?
Nope, that's right. Hey, so one of the last things I want to cover is this piece from The Atlantic regarding demographics, which was kind of interesting. There's one passage in specifically I wanted to kind of hone in on. But in the beginning, they kind of go through much of the same stuff that we have been talking about for a while regarding the population growth and like how many are we going to be? Or they just claim it's going to plateau at some point. They talk about sub-Saharan Africa reaching close to, what is it, was it four billion at the end of the century? Was that what this? I got to look that up again.
I don't doubt it.
Let me see if I can find that graph again. But I think it was something like that. The projection, and again, anything could change this, right? So it's not written in stone. And again, the beginning of the article is kind of about that. We can't decide on how many. Experts can't agree on how many humans will be on the Earth in the next century. The implications could be profound, right? But there's one passage here. Well, I'll look for that Africa graph there. Yeah, here it is. Let me see here. Africa to propel. Here it is. Here, Africa to propel world's population towards 10 billion by 2050. But I believe they put the African and sub-Saharan African to something like four billion.
Nigeria's population is set to double, says under there, to more than 400 million by 2050.
Yes, here's the graph.
And
okay,
then they still call themselves minorities. I love that.
Yep, sub-Saharan African close to 4 billion they claim here at the end of the century. Anyway, this is not the point. The point is this here. It's about their surprise. That like we don't know why they're not having kids
in the West, right?
Yeah, why? So they have this dual argument in the piece where they first of all they talk about how like, well, it's obviously bad. We can't be like 30 billion people on the planet. They would obviously that doesn't work.
I agree. And it's not white people doing all that.
Right. So how do we stop it? Where does it stop? They don't say that, but I'm saying that's obviously like a discussion that should be had as a backdrop to this, right? But then they also go into this amazing argument where they also talk about having an inverted pyramid, population pyramid, right? So you have an older population versus a large older population and a small young population. Then you have to make up for that with immigration, right? Listen to what they say. In reality, raising fertility is very difficult. Countries have implemented all manner of so-called pronatalist policies, including baby bonuses of $300 Australian and generous parental leave in Scandinavia with little sustained success. It's not exactly clear why low fertility is so resistant to reversal, but seemingly once people get used to the idea of having just one or two children or none, persuading them to have more is very hard. This is particularly evident in countries where the fertility rate has fallen below 1.5 or so, the risk of ignoring low fertility for those countries who are affected are enormous. One of the experts, Murray, said that was interviewed for the piece, right?
There's another expert I thought it was a Frank Notstein, but it's actually Notstein, the director of the Office of Population Research, who's telling us this.
Yeah. So it's fascinating that they have like they still don't know. They just started to say, oh, well, just give them some perks, some financial perks, and then they'll start having kids, right?
By the way, they don't mention places like Poland or Hungary who have had true incentives to, like, actual ones, and Russia to get the birth rates up and how it works. Like, real things. We're not talking about $300 measly dollars a month when everything else is so expensive, right? Yep. We're talking about, like, they're giving them a car or help paying off their mortgage after 5 kids or, like, real assistance. I mean, if they really cared about, you know, upping the birth rate, there's things that they can do. But obviously, they don't care about that in the West. No. But I know you have more to say here, but I just think it's funny that it's a mystery why these white people aren't having kids. Remember, I did a video called Why White People Aren't Having Kids and just spelling it out. And it's kind of obvious, right? The constant environmental fear-mongering we've been hit with. My generation hard. I remember that the feminism, now the constant anti-white brainwashing and all the guilting. I think that might have something to do with it. It's not a great mystery. And, you know, we're not living in the kind of environment that exactly fosters a great healthy family environment for white people to want to have kids when they're like shitting on us on a daily basis and blaming us for everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they shouldn't encourage so much of the LGBTQ propaganda. Maybe they shouldn't give hormone replacement therapy to kids. Maybe they shouldn't cut off their genitals in the name of turning them into someone that they're not. I mean, okay, granted, they're not doing this to everybody, right? It's for now. It's somewhat of a smaller fringe, but they're lifting it out like it's the mainstream thing, and they want that to happen, right? So that's what I'm saying. They have this dual thing. Where they're like, oh well, we have to have the numbers high, right? And if you don't hide, then we have to have immigration. It's the only way. There's no discussion around this of like what's causing this or how to fix this.
No, and also populations ebb and flow. It's happened in Europe plenty of times before. Like after the Black Plague, what happened? There was half of the population of Europe almost, and then what happened after that? A renaissance. Like we'll be fine. We don't need to import in 10 billion Africans or whatever. We'll do better off. Off, actually, with a small, homogenous little population to do what we need to do if it comes down to that, you know?
Yeah, here they have it, right? As the saying goes, demography is destiny and population trends determine the prosperity of nations and the world. Then these forecasts imply conflicting prophecies of the future, of our future challenges. The UNPD, this is the population division of the United Nations, which of course, you know, totally are just like, you know, not doing replacement agendas or anything like that, points to a much more crowded planet, which some fear threatens to deplete natural resources and increase carbon emissions. Okay, well, don't grow the populations
well,
then
that's
if
just
this is
it.
Your concern.
This is absurd. I mean, it used to be environmentalists knew and they talked about how moving mass migrations of people was horrible for the environment. They don't talk about that anymore.
They don't care about that anymore because, again, there's a superseding agenda, and that's the replacement. Mm-hmm. And they say, envisioning extreme population aging where, without considerable immigration, right, they say it, some countries can end up with an inverted age pyramid. Like, again, every single time, like the world wars, for example, did our societies collapse? Well, I mean, it might be morally we did, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
No, we rebooted.
There was a shit ton of men that died.
Man,
right?
Look at Germany after World War II and look at where they're at today.
Yeah, what they've done. I mean, okay, it's bad with immigration issue and stuff, but still, like, they've recovered. They've, like, done,
wealthy.
You know, good, you know, financially at least, or the industries have done some good, right? I mean, soul-wise, they're like, you know.
Well, of course, murdered. That goes without saying.
It's still there. I'm not trying to shit on anybody, but I'm just saying they're like, mentality-wise, it's like a destroyed people, you know, for the most part. It's always
soul-crushing,
you know. But anyway, so this is the type of things you get in the mainstream. There's no real, I went through this a little bit more in detail earlier, and there's no real discussion of these things. It's they're pretending that there are no other options. It's only like, okay, we have to limit population on one end, but then we also have to have a continuous growth or at least a replacement. And if you don't have kids, the only way to make up for that is with immigration, right? Without like,
going on the premise that you could just replace Europeans at all these people coming from Africa or wherever else are going to be just like Swedish people, and they're just going to build Saabs and Volvos just like
you.
You know what I mean?
We're all the same. It's fine.
It's like, no.
Doesn't matter.
It ends up being a drain and harder on the population.
Yeah. And we had that piece from Fast Company as well. Did you want to talk about this?
Yeah, so this is ridiculous. This is rich because we know that globalists have been, you know, busy ruining social cohesion for decades now, pushing multiculturalism, diversity, mass immigration, mostly in European countries. So today we're more divided than ever because of it, as if we needed, you know, countless studies, but they do exist on how multiculturalism destroys social cohesion. I even put some in one of my videos. But the most peaceful united countries in the world happen to be the most homogenous ones, also happen to be mostly European. And some Asian ones, right? Well, now here we have the World Economic Forum, who absolutely hates European homogenous nations and wants them to be a toilet for everyone, is saying that their biggest fear and threat on the planet is the erosion of social cohesion. Oops. It's not working.
Who did that again?
Exactly. Oops, it's not working out like they thought it would. They kvetch about how polarized it is now. Wait for it, though. And how things are running out of control. How it's harder to unify everyone under this global system. But, of course, they blame Trump, white people, equity, climate change, and COVID. So they help destroy everything good, and then they point the finger at the BS things that they manufactured as the source of the problem, right?
Yeah.
They are the ones helping, working to create the destruction of social cohesion. They have done so much to help with that, especially in the West, and it is going to backfire. It already is. That's why they just, now I see them just wanting to use a steel tech fist, you know, just right in the face to force people to get in line with their agenda, because it's not working out how they want to. It's a revolt against human nature and truth, what they're trying to do. But I just find it funny that they are the ones who are, oh no, social cohesion and when it doesn't work out for them. They actually thought that this multiculturalism, this diversity, this open borders, that they can just eventually just replace people like us and we would just shut up. But guess what? It's getting louder, right? You have these trucker convoys and people not complying and people talking about these things more frequently and more openly. And they're afraid of that.
Yeah.
They literally say they're afraid of this.
Yep, yep. Again, they did this. They
backfire. And that's what we always have to remember. It doesn't always go how they think that it will.
Yeah.
People are seeing in these more diverse societies how there is no more social cohesion.
Yeah.
You know, and it's creating all these other ripples, other things that are happening because of it, and awakenings that are happening because of it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I, you know, it's clear that the great world that they claim they want to build for us, they actually don't want to build. It's all about destroying our societies. They don't want to build anything at the end. They're just about tearing down, right? That's what they do, and they do that very well and efficiently.
Yes, it's good to point out, sorry to interrupt, that where you're going, I think, is that the social cohesion that they want is basically just to unify under this globalist system, right? Like,
right.
that's the peace that they want,
yeah.
But they're going to have to use, like, robots and steel fists to do that, right?
Yeah, and, it, you know, weirdly, that kind of ties into the previous topic, too, that, you know, if it was such a danger also, by the way, with an inverse population, you know, growth or whatever, at least for a while, right? Again, this could turn around very, very quickly. But yeah, we have technologies now. There's things we can do to help, you know, help out. We'd have to. But even when we had to do it like manual labor style, we still did it, right? But anyway, back to this point here. I think that they. I'm just wondering if they truly believe in that this is what they want to create. You know what I mean? I think there's some ideologues.
Some liberals.
Part of these organizations, like the World Economic Forum. But then you have the people at the very top who's like, no, this is basically just to do like a demolition of the whole damn thing. Now, maybe they have a utopian vision later on of like, you know, some kind of fourth industrial revolution, you know, the Great Reset and all that stuff, right? They want to create that world and have that. But again, that's very limited in terms of like actual freedom that people have and actual ability for people to be autonomous and stuff. It's like a rigidly controlled system where you're basically just a slave, you know, at best. I mean, again, it's Brave New World style, right? It's Huxley, Aldous Huxley style. It's like you love your servitude. You'll be happy. You'll just put on the VR headset, right?
Take this pill.
You'll be in the metaverse, right? And you know, by the way, it reminds me, I want to play that right now then. The reason why you got to lie in a pod when you put on that headset is because it could be you could actually end up hurting your physical body when you get into the metaverse. Look at this kid right here.
Jump off, Christian. Oh!
Oh, what the?
Oh, are you okay?
He got hurt. He's too small for that.
Oh, man.
There you go. Well, so watch out. Meta. Mean dead, right? There you go. All right.
God.
Actually, before we go to this one, so, I'm sorry. Let me do this one. I'm sorry. I don't want to cut ahead of myself here. Look at this one, because again, it's all to do with demographics and again, with social cohesion and, you know, because...
Our mocha-colored future, it's going to make everything better, right?
Beige power. Remember the clip out of Canada, right, when the alt-right was kind of rising a little bit there in 2016 or whatever? beige power was one of the...
We made fun of that and YouTube banned it, like, immediately because it was... Yeah, too much truth telling.
You remember that, right? It was some Canadian, Pakistani rapper who were like, beige power, we're all going to be mixed race in the future, right? Well, now it turns out that it doesn't seem to be going too well. There's a you know, once white people are out of the picture, I don't think we ever will be, but let's assume that they get their way and we are removed, they're going to be this other, you know, it already is, in fact, I'm not trying to say it's not happening, pecking order depending on your skin tone, right? So even if you're 50%, let's say, sub-Saharan African or European or something, well, then you should end up lower on the rank, right? Listen to this clip here. This is an actress that is basically complaining on that she's mixed race. Listen to this here.
Very white dad, right?
You must have got my note, though. I put it on your truck yesterday.
I now realize that my internalized prejudice was stopping me from feeling like I could play this role. When it's precisely that prejudice that I've received, it doesn't matter that it's from African-American women more than anyone else. It doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
I received prejudice. Anyone who's received oppression and prejudice feels this character. I've wanted so desperately to apologize every day to darker skinned actresses to say, I'm sorry that I'm the one chosen. My mama looks like you.
Is she acting? Yeah, she's acting.
It's been very painful to have women that look like my mum feel like I'm not representing them, that I'm taking from them, taking their men, taking their work, taking their truth. But I do think that any women of colour who've, whether they're pale or whatever, who've managed to help other actors, you know, get into this business, we matter. Whenever they say that black women have watched the movie and it's really, really, really mattered to them, I just thank God that my light skin didn't stop that from happening. I'm so that it didn't cause more pain.
So she's mocha colored. What's the problem? I thought that would
That's create our inevitable, beautiful future.
Yeah, a peaceful future that we keep hearing. It would end racism if we all look like her, if all the white people are bred out. It is funny, though. I mean, we've known this for a while now, that the girls that are mocha colored, that have a half white, right? Some of them can be a little more attractive. And so they get some crap for that, you know, from some just all black women. And like she said, she gets accused of stealing their men, right? So they, too, don't see her as black, though, right? Like, they're the ones...
But she probably sees herself as black.
But she sees herself as black.
European, right?
But that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of blacks that they hate this, like, mocha-colored-looking kind of woman. Like, they do resent her, and they do hate her. So it is just funny that it's just, oh, it's going to be
like
peace.
A pecking order.
It's going to be
like
peace on earth, white person, if you just breed yourself out and turn into her. And as we see, no.
It's like the caste system. In India, that's basically what's developing, right? In a way, right? And again, it's...
Well, the lightest people are still on top in India.
No, okay. In a reverse caste
system.
I'm saying I'm not talking about the ranking or the order of the tones. I'm just saying that it is like a hierarchy of sorts, right? And again, what this means is, and what she should realize too, that means that the whiter you are, the more, like, literally oppressed you are.
Yeah, figure it out. Way, you're right? Still half white. And so you're guilty. You should feel guilt for that.
And you're taking opportunities away from others. So anyway, the point is, it seems to be going great, that new utopia that they're building for us there. Now we can do this the other story there about the student. Okay.
Hold on. Anderson Paladin says, Team Light versus Team Dark was a huge red pill. Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
North Fork, great show, Henrik and Lana. Thanks for being such a great source for current events and analysis. Well, thank you for supporting us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And Lycan Warrior, back to what we were talking about earlier about foreign populations, how Europe needs that, says stopping foreign aid would go a long way towards reducing population in the third world. Oh, it sure would. Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, again, we hear, I'm sure we need to talk about this, but again, you hear all these things all the time of how, you know, they're trying to like depopulate in African countries and stuff. And at least so far, it doesn't seem that way.
Doesn't hold up.
Ironically, then, as you have foreign aid too, that is also producing a big wave of people, right? Leaving like Africa, wanting to go to Europe and stuff like that. So it's like, it doesn't matter what you do. It seems like, you know, if the conditions are shitty, they want to come to Europe. But then if you do, I forget that study. This is a while ago, but I remember there was some study about that, like we help out, we were helping them to build up things. I mean, remember there was like a time when like UN helicopters come in and like drop bags of rice milk powder, you know, to these people to like to prevent a starvation catastrophe, right?
That's what I think. If humans just stop meddling and just worried about their own country, and if another country is failing across the world, well, it's not our problem. Then nature just kind of will sort things out.
Well, the thing is,
we're making things worse.
The thing is, you could help them. I'm not saying anything like that, but you don't have to. You don't have to open your borders and let all these people, especially after you've helped them, like especially after you've given all this aid, right? And the point is that, again, the study I'm trying to say is the West is helping all these countries and doing all these things.
You shouldn't.
And then that turned into a migration, like a flow of migration. Like, and again, we know that that's intentional. Some of us are saying it's an accident or a side effect of it, right? But at the same time, it's like if we put so, I mean, I remember again, Sweden was giving more money than many other countries did in the world, of like a country of 9 million people literally handing over money to help feed a continent.
Oh,
of like
I know.
2
if that's not white slavery, I don't know what is.
And it's like, well, what is happening here? And who helped? We were just starving back in the 1800s when we had
Africa
the latest
wasn't helping
famine.
You.
It wasn't.
They weren't
no
dropping
one
rice
up
bags
to
for
no,
you.
No one showed up and did anything for us. I mean, there was some little. I'm not trying to deny entirely. There was some little help in there, but largely we were on our own, right?
Yeah.
The international community didn't really even exist at that point in that way, right?
No, I'm over it. I'm over this foreign aid crap. Yeah, so this one is pretty
What I'm saying is I'd rather do foreign aid but control our borders.
Yeah, but that never happens.
As opposed to like not helping and then you get a flood of refugees to your country. I mean it's not an either-or situation.
But it also makes them more...
You don't have to be bribed.
No, but it also makes them more dependent, though. So they need to learn to do these things on their own instead of just waiting for those rice bags, you know?
Well, again, you can teach a man how to fish. Right.
Yeah.
And that doesn't actually take any of your resources even.
What happens?
All you share
they...
is knowledge. What they do with it, that's up to them. Right. But you can teach a man to fish. That's fine. You know.
So this is another rich story. Some things don't always go how they intend. Right. So some Jewish students at Brooklyn College, they got mad because they were called white during a class that was attacking whites for being privileged oppressors who are the source of all the world's problems. Well, Jewish students said they were smeared by professors and peers as being white privileged oppressors. So what happened?
We'll talk there.
So they complained and a federal probe was opened by the U.S. Department of Education. Wow. The Brandeis Human Rights Complaint said that during the academic year, a professor told the class that Ashkenazi Jews who immigrated to America were among the oppressors of racial minorities. I wonder if you mentioned their leading role in the transatlantic slave trade. I'm doubtful of that. Another professor told students to rank their identities, after which the class admonished a student for listing Jewish first and white last. Wasn't that what we've been saying for a while? This is why we say Jews aren't white, because they say it. They don't identify as white, although some may appear to be, right? They're Jewish first and sometimes white when it suits them, but not in this case, not when you're shitting all over white people, then you're white last, right? Remember, it's also Jewish groups that are leading the charge against white people, pushing critical race theory, garbage and lies, which is only aimed at attacking white people. Well, sometimes it does backfire on them. Gee, do you think that they're going to stop and think about, hey, I wonder how the white kids feel in these classes? Because I felt uncomfortable that moment when they called me a white oppressor, right? Because I look white. How do you think these innocent white kids feel in these classes? No, I don't think they're going to stop to think about that because they're so self-centered. So what did the college do? They said they unequivocally denounce anti-Semitism on the campus. So they can attack white people, crap all over them from every possible angle, but then apologize to Jews for anti-Semitism. I mean, that's some privilege, and it sure ain't white privilege, if you ask me.
Oy vey, oy vey. Crazy. What are you going to do, right? You do this, you lose, you do that, they win, right? It doesn't matter what you do, right? All right, guys, we're going to start wrapping up right there. We're running a little bit behind schedule, but we appreciate you today. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, everyone over on Entropy and Odyssey and all the other places. I went in with two beautiful, nice little clips here to get some positive closure.
To clean your brain.
The whole thing here, right?
To cleanse your brain,
yep,
yes.
That's right. Two clips. But we thank you, guys. We're going to be back with Weekend Warrior here coming up here on... Sunday slash possibly Monday, depending on editing as usual, of course. But yeah, we appreciate you and thank you, everybody. Check out these clips. Stay safe. Hold the line, as they say. We'll keep monitoring the situation in Canada, of course, as well, and around the world. But we'll see you guys next time. Take care. Check this out.
Love Red Ice? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Ice membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Ice. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.